Hello and welcome to the first broadcast of Radio Free Cybertron. I am your host and friend, Brian Kilby.
Yes, I am your host and friend. Still today, 10 years later, Brian Kilby. That's how we started off Radio Free Cybertron on October 15th, 1999, and it's been 10 years. I want to welcome you to the 10th anniversary podcast. With me, I have JD, XV, John DeLuna, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Turin. Hey, guys, how's it going with you this momentous day?
Good.
Fantastic.
Hey, Paisanos.
I left my wife sick at home with the baby by herself so I could be here.
So, guys, it's been 10 years. Who here feels as old as I do?
I feel older.
I'm pretty sure I feel considerably older.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have more now going for you. You're married. You have kids. You have a kid. And you're the only one here that has a kid. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, unless XV has one that I don't know about.
Well, in that case, I don't know about it either.
Guys, this is going to be an incredibly packed show. We have several interviews from people that we are checking back on. So I think we should probably start off things with an interview from one of the original RSC voices, Mop Boy, Scott Johnson.
Someone's not messing that one up.
Screw you, XV. With XV and I, we have Mop Boy, also known as Scott Johnson. And as you will recall, Mop Boy was one of the integral crew members of Radio Free Cybertron. The original crew basically consisted of me, Goldimus Prime, who passed away, Taryn, John DeLuna, and Mop Boy. And we have Mop Boy right here. How's it going, sir?
It's going really good. How have you guys been?
Awesome. Why aren't you on the show? We brought it back, but you're like not on the show.
Real life kind of comes in pretty heavy. You know, I've got a family, I've got a mortgage, and the drama that has become Transformers nowadays, I kind of just don't want to be a part of anymore. Kind of sucks all the fun out of it.
Is it the movie? Is that what it is?
No, it's not the movie, because before the movie, you know, you had people, you know, like, you know, the whole, who is that person who would talk about, oh, the Decepticons aren't evil, they're just military. And
that,
you know,
that was like 10 years ago, though. That was when we were having the most fun.
Yeah. But it just kind of like everyone kind of sucked the fun out of it, instead of just like having fun with the basic concept of Transformers. You know, you got a lot of whiners, you got a lot of, you know, people who are lobbying to get things changed in Transformers, and it's kind of like, you know, it was a toy, it was a kid's thing, and it's kind of like, you know, it's made to be fun, you know, it's not made to, you know, grind down and create like, you know, I don't want to say Star Trek kind of thing, because Star Trek is the same thing, but just suck the fun out of it, you know?
You know, I don't even like Transformers, yet I'm doing a Transformers podcast. So, I mean, I'm not making any excuses.
There you go.
I'm kidding. No, I understand. I mean, I had the commute and everything. I being married kind of sucks the fun out of life. But it's just, she's not listening, thankfully. But just one of those things. I understand entirely. But it's good to talk with you. And, I mean, it's not like we've, you know, completely broken off our relationship. We still communicate occasionally. It's not like Turin, who, you know, I have spoken to for the first time in, like, 8 years. I mean, we do at least talk occasionally, which is awesome, because I do miss you.
Oh, well, thank you. I miss you, too.
It sounds kind of weird, but it's true. I mean,
oh,
you know,
I'd hug you if I could right now, man.
I mean, you know, who else remembers the feed burner password?
Did we ever figure that out, by the way?
Oh yeah, it's taken care of. I was explaining to the guys yesterday that Radio Free Cybertron would have never have come back if it wasn't for you, because you did all this, almost, I would say, triage just keeping it, you know, alive for all that time. And I've just sort of swooped back in and took all the credit. So you're really the reason that Radio Free Cybertron is back. So we can sort of, you know, credit you.
Oh, thank you. I always kind of hoped that, you know, we'd at least have an archive or something. You know, the first Transformers podcast before it was actually considered a podcast.
Yeah, actually, well, the thing is, okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, we're the Transformers Internet Radio Show. That's branding. And the whole podcast thing depends on your definition. I've been doing a lot of research on this. And at this point, most people don't care about RSS feeds. I mean, at least two-thirds of the definitions that I've come across, you know, they mentioned syndication, which we had syndication. That's what RFC on your site was.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, no, most people don't even use the syndication to get podcasts. They just go to the website and download it. I mean, it literally, it's mostly foot traffic. So, I mean, while, yes, I understand the value of RSS feeds, it's not really that important. So, you know, I say I don't care who the first Transformers podcast is. I mean, that's, you know, that's small potatoes as far as I'm concerned. I want to be the first podcast. And, you know, we're not, but we're closer to being the first podcast than not being the first podcast.
We're in the single digits. That's what counts.
I think we are. I think we're close to the single digits. There's a study, I saw this on Wikipedia, where it has to be like a serial, as in, you know, episodic. It has to have a theme, and I think originally designed for the internet. And there are not that many internet radio programs that predate us, given, you know, those parameters. Most of the internet radio programming prior to us involved old world media programming, like NPR, where they would upload their content to like a real server or something. So
and also what they used to do when we were doing our stuff, the biggest thing was like shoutcasting. So you weren't just like having a single episode that you would download and listen to or watch or something like that. You know, you have a continuously streaming broadcast of something going on all the time, whereas we didn't have that.
Yeah,
you know, ours was like here's our episode, we're done.
Yeah, exactly. And you could access it at any time. You could try to stream it, but it didn't work half the time because, you know, bandwidth issues. But, you know, we were available in real audio and also occasionally MP3 because there are some people who just didn't like real audio. And, you know, looking back, real audio might have been a mistake, but it worked.
Well, no, real audio was the best because we could take one show. I mean, because bandwidth back then was still kind of bad for a lot of people, and you know, even broadband wasn't quite out there yet. And so you could take a real audio file, split it into like five or four segments, or how many segments you want, stick in a real audio, and real audio would play the next segment as soon as the previous one was done.
Now that we have all that self-indulgent geekery out of the way, I know that, you know, you have a family these days. How has that changed your life? I know it has. I mean, that's the definition of Mop Boy these days. You are a family man.
It has changed me a great deal. I could pretty much remember the days where I was probably a foul-mouthed, easygoing or just a really loose person, especially on the internet. And nowadays, I'm kind of a little bit more conservative.
See, I've always been conservative and sort of easygoing, but I'm also a jerk, so...
No. Well, we already knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great. We're all really happy, you know, for you. And that's the thing. People in our age group, all the Transformers fans in our age group, have basically grown up. I mean, some of us still refuse to do so, but most people, you know, they are married. A lot of us have a kid. So we're all in the same age group, and it's really cool that most of us, even though we've been corrupted by family, we're still able to be Transformers fans.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second movie yet. I'll probably watch it, but not rushing to go see it or anything.
It's not very good.
The DVD comes out.
Yeah,
I'll wait for a Redbox to get it, and I can go get it for a buck, and that'll be worth it.
Yeah, that's probably the best decision.
That's a really good investment for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, a dollar. Or if you want to be, you know, like me, you could just download it next vid.
Yeah, there's always that, too.
Oh, that's bad.
No,
that's bad. It's illegal. I would not recommend anyone to do that.
I own two copies of the first movie. I own it in DVD and HD DVD, so I own the first movie.
Ooh, HD DVD. That's got to hurt.
Yeah, it does. So, so you've basically kind of mostly given up on Transformers. Is that pretty much what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I might go watch if I happen to be sitting down and it comes on TV, I might watch it. But otherwise, I'm kind of like all Transformered out. I keep thinking back. It's kind of like, you know, it's weird. It's like I remember being a fan of it back in the day where everyone kind of like just thought it was some kid's show. You know, then you get on the internet, you find out, oh, there's a few more people that, you know, kind of like believe what you believe. And but you're still kind of like, you know, feeling like you're watching a dying breed. And then all of a sudden Hasbro goes, hey, we can make money off this. And the fire started again. And all of a sudden the movies come out. And it's kind of like, well, we were always behind it all the time. So, you know.
So now it's a little bit more acceptable to be a Transformers fan. It's like you're less of a troglodyte than you were, you know, 10 years ago. People don't really look down at you. It's like when you go to BotCon now. Used to be you would see Cape Thing. It sort of gave you that impression that you know, we're kind of freaks. But now you go to BotCon, it's like normal people. Like Guillermo del Toro was just walking around BotCon last year, and with his kid. So, you know, now it's entirely acceptable to be a trans fan, which is kind of cool. So you pick, like, the wrong time to get out, buddy. You could have been socially acceptable at this point, but you're not now.
I have to blaze my own trail.
Glad everything's going well for you. Thank you so much for keeping Radio Free Cybertron going. You basically carried the torch for probably 4 or 5 years.
Well, I mean, I want to thank you because, you know, you guys kind of, like, let me get into it, and I was kind of like surprised at the time when you started it. You guys were like, you know, celebrities, and then you let me into it. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Oh, I've got to send you a check. You know, it's funny though. There are, I mean, people who know me. I mean, you know me. You guys know me. But people who don't, it's kind of like, hey, you know, you're kind of notable for something. And all my friends are like, he's a loser. Why do you say that? and the loser part is more accurate. We were just ahead of the curve. Mott Boy, we want to thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for keeping the torch going. And thank you for being awesome.
Well, thank you very much for calling me and keeping in touch. I'm always glad to hear from you.
Awesome. So that was our first interview in this interview-packed 10th anniversary show, Mott Boy. So Rob had a suggestion, and I think we'll follow it. Let's have a moment of silence for our dignity, because we are sure to lose it from all the self-indulgence this episode will have. Just a moment, please. Okay, that...
Wait, you guys had dignity?
I was waiting for somebody.
Yeah, thank you.
I never had
to quote Gary Chalk.
Okay.
You know, a couple things I wanted to get in on this show, and some of us are new. Chris has been listening for since the beginning, but so is Taryn and John. But John and Taryn were a part of the show, and XV, from very early on. I wanted to play a couple of... Early introductions. Let's go ahead and start things off with just a brief glimpse into the first appearance by John DeLuna.
Greetings, trans fans. This is the ATT Buzz. You know, the news group
What's
is
ATT?
Hard times lately. Intelligent discussion is giving way to flames and fights. The reason is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
It's speech machines. This week was especially bad, with the revelations that Silverbolt is the Viacon Thrust.
Oh my goodness.
And Rhinox is the Viacon Tankor.
What?
Hey,
no,
I haven't seen
these went completely
spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Yeah. You know, the thing that bugs me about Beast Machines is that Rhinox just decided, oh, well, I'm evil now and I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it part.
He
making does that Rhinox sit in part?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was John's first appearance on Radio Free Cybertron. He did the ATT Buzz. It's funny, when we started doing this, we did most of our promotion on Usenet on Alt Toys Transformers, and now we do most of our promotion on social networking. So that's a huge change. You know, social networking wasn't ever conceived of, really, when we started this. I mean, it's really, really changed.
I conceived of it, but I thought it was an abomination.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we conceived of this whole thing called podcasting now, but I never really thought it would ever take off. I thought, hey, you know, I like talking about Transformers, so I'm going to record myself talking about Transformers. And now there's a podcast for everything: deep sea diving, crocheting, you know, fencing. If there's a subject, there's a podcast out there for it. So that's pretty cool. We're one of the first people in the world to ever do that.
And where's our royalties? Nowhere.
I have
spent so much money over the years. it's been fun, but it's been an incredible money sink for me.
You know, the real reward is the lives you've enriched with this show, Brian.
What lives have I enriched with this show?
Well, somebody's downloading it. Who's downloading it?
Well,
they're not better people, though.
Yeah, they're not better people for it.
Well, just forget I said anything.
If anything, they like Transformers a little less.
I hope not.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
So, like I said before, we have a really, really, really packed show. I want to go ahead and go back to one of the first interviews I did for the 10th anniversary show. When we started off Radio Free Cybertron in 1999, really, it originated with three people. I had the idea, and I did the show. There was also a website component, and we had articles that were written by Alex J. 33106 and Mad Max MFP. I couldn't reach Alex. Alex has become very elusive over the years, but I was able to get in touch with Mad Max, Jonathan, and I want to go ahead and play an interview that I recorded last week with Jonathan, and it's brief. We'll be back here just in a couple minutes, and after this. So, how are things going with you?
They're actually going pretty good. I just started school again.
That's awesome. I need to do that myself.
Yeah, I dropped out for 3.5 years, and it's been it's not as hard to go back as I was afraid of.
I kind of did the whole, I dropped out, I guess is a way of saying it. I was gone for about 5 years, went back for 2 months. That was 4 years ago, so I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, now that I brought Radio Free Cybertron back, it's kind of like I'm trying to redo my early 20s. So I'm back on, I got back on IRC like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it kind of sucks. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah. Somehow it's not that surprising.
No, it's not that bad. But it's just, it's not the people. It's just the, I don't know, just the environment's not exactly what I remembered it being. Of course, I had less going on then. You know, basically mm-hmm. I sat on my butt all day doing nothing. Now I'm, you know, juggling two jobs and a marriage. So
yeah, well... I could see how that would be slightly more difficult.
Yeah. So you said you're not into Transformers anymore. You haven't really cared about that in a while. Is that still basically the case?
I mean, all of my energy that went toward that has pretty much been redirected towards baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, which, like, I don't, like, slightly more socially acceptable, but doesn't make me any less of a nerd.
Well, dude, I mean, since you know, we were, well, I mean, you're a good deal younger than I am. I think you're, what, 23, 4 now?
Yep, I'm 24.
Okay. I'm 30, so that makes me even bigger loser than I am, you know, than if I were 23 or 24. But back then, being a Transformers fan was like a really bad thing, because we were fans of like something that was a kid's, you know, a kid's toy in a cartoon. But since then, you know, everybody's a Transformers fan, so that's kind of strange. And of course, you know, back then I was really a hardcore Transformers nerd. I really defined myself by being a Transformers fan. Now I have a little bit more going on for me, but not much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, it generally seems like within the past like 5 years, like, it's become much more acceptable to like be like obsessive in like that extreme way, like, about almost anything.
Yeah, geeks become cool now. Back then, it was just, you know, a geek.
Yeah.
It's too bad I wasn't considered cool then.
Yeah.
The only people who consider me cool now are, like, 7-year-olds. They love me.
That's cool. And, you know, I mean, that's nothing to shake a stick at.
People will remember you as Mad Max MFP. before that, you were Trout 56. But I think the most people out there will remember Mad Max MFP for being the loud, outrageous, angry guy on the internet. But, you know, he was kind of like this lovable little hate wad. are you still basically that same character, or have you kind of, I don't know, grown up since then?
I've grown up, but there's still a lot of that within my personality. Like, I would say that, like, if anything, I just learned that there's more proper places for acting like that, and like you know, like, not everyone appreciates being screamed at all the time.
It's fun though to do it.
I mean, oh, it's a lot of fun.
I miss it.
I generally ride a bike like almost everywhere, like in Brooklyn, and I was also out in San Francisco for a year and a half, and I get a lot of my anger out through that, just by yelling at people. Just out the street. For some reason, I'm not sure why, but, like, people like, out in the street, whereas, like, if I was just walking down the street, just, like, screaming at someone, like, I would be crazy. That's perfectly understandable.
Jonathan, Mad Max MFP, thank you for coming on the 10th anniversary show, and it was really good talking with you.
Absolutely. It was also great to talk to you.
So,
we good.
Yeah, so thank you, XV. So, I'm trying.
While we're not doing anything anyway, can I just say that John DeLuna sounded a lot like Casey Kasem in his first bit?
Awesome.
Yeah, John DeLuna.
I don't know
like
if you were going for that, but it sounded super awesome. Very reminiscent.
Just say traitor for me once.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so we're trying to have this be perfect, and it's not happening. So I'm just going to say, forget it. You know, whatever happens, happens. So this is the 10th anniversary of Radio Free Cybertron. We've been doing this for 10 years now, and we feel really old. Or I feel really old. XV is still actually rather young. John DeLuna is
still old.
Yeah, John's still in his 20s, too, but the rest
barely
of it. Rob, how old? Rob, you're what, 30, 31?
31.
See, the rest of us are in our 30s now, and we feel really, really old. So, Chris,
see, my wife's 9 years younger than me, or 8 years younger, so technically I get an extra 4 years, so I'm only like 29.
Dude, that's pretty awesome. I wish my wife was 8 years younger than me. She's older than I am.
Wow, yeah.
So, but yeah, we're here. We're doing the 10th anniversary show. And the reason we're doing it is because it's a celebration of 10 years of excellence, which is what this is. It's we've been doing this for 10 years now, you know, with a kind of a small break in the middle. But
small?
Hush, XV.
Sabbatical.
It's a sabbatical, yeah. I was, you know, I was in the Himalayas practicing my kung fu.
The Himalayas.
Yeah, so, so we're in the show. We're going back and talking to people who have had big impact on Radio Free Cybertron. So the first, of course, was Mottboy, then Max, and we have quite a few more throughout the show. And we're going to end the show off, and don't skip there, but we're going to end the show off with Transformers the Movie Part 4, which we've been waiting on now for, what, 8 years, 7 years?
Go ahead and skip. Nobody will blame you. I'll
blame you.
I don't care what you think.
Well, I'll just mute you, young man.
And done.
Okay. So, But this, it's been 10 years of Radio Free Cybertron, and when we started doing this, no one ever really thought that something like this would take off. I mean, we were just a couple of lonely dudes, at least I was a lonely dude, sitting on on the internet behind a microphone talking about something that we're passionate about, and that just happens to be Transformers. So, I mean, now podcasting is a business. There are people who make a living. Like, Leo Laporte makes, like, $1.5 million a year doing this.
That's crazy.
Yes, crazy. And you know how much money I'm making a year doing this? It's in the negative sums, my friends. I am losing money. So, please buy my product.
He's selling Dual Action Cleanse.
Dude, I could totally sell some Dual Action Cleanse, but I would use up the profits. So it's been 10 years. I mean, how has Radio Free Cybertron doing this, for those of you who have been involved, has it really, like, impacted who you are in any way? I mean, is it – I know that sounds like a strange question, but a lot of people define themselves by what they do, and, you know, it's really impacted me. It's you know, I was going to go into, like, a scientific direction with my life, but it's really gone into a sort of a technical direction, and RFC is a, you know, a big part of that.
I mean, I think for me, thinking back as far as, and I was obviously a listener long before I was a contributor, but I was at a point in my life when I was spending a lot of time, you know, home alone. You talk about being lonely, and that's exactly where I was at. And having stumbled into the community and then stumbling onto the show, it really did sort of open me up to a world that I wasn't aware of. I mean, the idea of recording something and putting it online and allowing other people to listen to it is just revolutionary for the especially for the time. And I think over the years it's made me much more passionate about podcasting. And then because of that, I've gotten into other things. So, you know, in other aspects of my life, I'm into skepticism and being a libertarian, and some of that I've gotten into from podcasts that I wouldn't have listened to if it weren't for Radio Free Cybertron getting me into it 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, with me, I mean, I started out doing Radio Free Cybertron, one, because I love Transformers, two, because I worked in radio. And I thought, hey, I can take, you know, what I do for a living, and I can apply it to my hobby. Because at the time, there was nobody else doing anything like this. All the other media, it was like old world stuff that people were just throwing up on a real server, like stuff from NPR or weather broadcasts or so on and so forth. Really, there was no user-generated content. I mean, there was a little bit that came prior, but it had already sort of vanished by that point. Like XV says, we're basically in the single digits as far as the number of podcasts go. So, you know, we really hit this early on. And like I said, it sort of pushed me into a technical direction because I'm like, hey, by the time I actually started my career, I had already sort of stopped doing RFC. And I was able to say, hey, Radio Free Cybertron, it's a podcast. And I kind of help, in a way, shape this media or medium. Why don't I sort of go farther with that and see what I can do? And, you know, now I'm like an IT manager for a, you know, a small nonprofit. And if it wasn't for RFC, I really would have never done that.
Yeah, I think for me, RFC was kind of the gateway into media. It was my first taste of broadcasting and kind of, you know, being able to publish yourself and kind of get yourself out there and, you know, put your opinions in front of many people, you know, kind of like the power of one person's voice and kind of the effect it has on lots of people. And, you know, for me, that turned into a career in television. And so, you know, I worked in television for a long time and yeah, I've since gone corporate. But you know, my first love, so to speak, was television and media. And, you know, RFC was really the beginning of that. I mean, when we started 10 years ago, we were still pretty much kids. And,
oh, definitely, definitely.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you played, like, some of the old stuff just now, I mean, we sound like kids because we were. And so I mean, we were still developing as people, you know, as individuals. And so it's kind of neat to look back and kind of see that, you know, this really was like a part of us growing up.
Yeah, actually, speaking of, let's check out XV's first appearance, which
was on
December 31st, 1999. This is how XV spent his millennial, the New Year's. So this is pretty awesome.
Tiger Hawk is a transmetal to Fusor. Tiger Hawk Beast Mode appears to be a tiger and what seems to be Eagle Fusor.
I sound like I'm 9.
Calls him a transmetal 2, but I believe the term transmetal Fusor works better for the character.
I believe a transmetal Fusor works better for the character. That's great.
Somebody hedge words. It appears to be. It looks like. It is called a...
Actually, let's go ahead and see what Turin sounded like back then.
In the news this week, the record for the shortest-lived business in Cybertronian history was set today by someone with apparently a few scrambled circuits. It seems that this genius tried to start a rental car agency district in Iacon.
And the funny thing is, he never says who he is.
Sufficient market share.
It's just it's like you just have to assume he's the news guy. It's kind of awesome. And of course, I already played, you know, my first bit, but I got to do that again.
Hello and welcome to the first broadcast of Radio Free Cybertron. I'm your host and friend, Brian Kilby.
I have spent the last, 10 years trying to cover up my accent. I mean, I've just given up at
you
this point.
You have an accent?
Hush. I've done a better job of it, especially my first couple of years at Lowe's, because I worked at Lowe's, they were spent on the phone. So, thank you for calling Lowe's. My name's Brian. How can I help you? You know, people like, where are
never
you
do
at?
That again.
Yeah, people like, where are you at? And I'm like, where are you from? It's like, I'm from New Jersey. You know,
wait, that was you.
Yeah.
So I talk to you.
Yeah. So, I think I've changed quite a bit in the last 10 years. I'm way more awesome now. I'm way more powerful than I was.
Well, you really only had up to go from where you were.
That's true. But, you know, on a personal note, RFC is really, I think it's meant a lot to me. I've never really had a way before of sort of expressing how I felt or who I was. And without getting too, you know, hokey, I started RFC, you know, I started off when I was, you know, 20 years old. I lived at home with my brother, my mom, and my dad. And I really didn't have any, like, outlet to talk about, you know, who I was or what my feelings were. Nobody really blogged back then. So I've been able to go back and listen to, you know, how things changed, because in the course of the, you know, 18 months, 20 months after I started doing RFC, I lost my entire family. I went from being, you know, part of a family of four to being, you know, a family of one. And I talked about that somewhat in sort of what now people would do in a blog. So it's been kind of interesting for me to go back and sort of re-listen to what I said, and I can sort of re-experience how I felt. And to me, that's kind of neat that, you know, I'm able to do that now. When then it was just, you know, I didn't never really even thought about it. I never thought that I would go back 10 years later and listen to myself. So it's just kind of, it's able to capture a feeling in time, and I kind of think that's cool.
Well, I think we all feel that way. None of us expected 10 years later to be sitting here and talking about the entire history of the show.
I pretty much did.
Shut up.
I did. I mean, for me, Radio Free Cybertron was something, you know, I wasn't a lonely kid at home. I had lots of friends. They just didn't like Transformers. I had nobody apart from the internet to share that with. And being able to go on to whether it was to ATT or to have an outlet for creativity on Radio Free Cybertron that other people, you know, in whatever way appreciated, I mean, that meant a lot. And yeah, I never thought that 10 years later, you know, I'd be in my, you know, new job with wife and kid and everything else, still talking about the show.
Back then, we did, like I said, all of our promotion on Alt Toys Transformers, and JD was known as Jay Dale back in the day, and he ran the ATT Who's Who. And in preparation for the 10th anniversary, I've kind of gone back to those days and trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, who is who. And we found out that JD still had the ATT Who's Who going. So I actually took his files and uploaded them, so I'll post a link out there. But if anyone's listening, they actually want to go to it, go to tfradio.org and type in ATTWW, and it's kind of cool. You can go back and see, you know, who was in the fandom, or basically who the fandom was back then, because All Toys Transformers, when we started out, was the fandom. I mean, there was no AllSpark, no TFW, no T-Formers, no Cybertron. It was All Toys Transformers. So if you want to check that out, it'll sort of give you a glimpse into how things were when we started this out, if you weren't part of, you know, a Transformers fandom back then. Because being a Transformers fan now is, like, completely socially acceptable, because everyone's a Transformers fan, thanks to the movies. But back then, you were kind of like a troglodyte if you like Transformers. You were kind of almost like an outcast. Because, like, well, you're a fan of Transformers? You mean, like, that toy line from the 80s? It's like, are you a loser?
Well, and that's usually because you were a loser. No, I think the association was there because it was true, not because just because of the Transformers. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I cut this out. The next thing we'll go to is the Cold Hard Slag, and I'll promo that. But we were talking, and I cut this out. BotCon, you're at BotCon now. Like, Guillermo del Toro is at BotCon. The director, he just wrote a book. He's going to be doing The Hobbit. He's going to be the director of The Hobbit. He was at BotCon, not as a guest, but as an attendee. So, I mean, he's not the only celebrity to show up at BotCon as an attendee. But back, like, to my first BotCon was BotCon 2001, and it was like walking onto the set of Willow. I mean, all sorts of sights and smells were to be had. I have never been in such a smelly group of people ever. I mean, and I go to comic book conventions. I mean, I live in the South, and it was rank.
Well, that convention was packed in kind of tight.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to walk around to.
Yeah, but, I mean,
small venue. Yeah.
You know, now you go to BotCon, and there's, like, normal people. There's, like, attractive people at BotCon now. But back then, you know, you had Cape Thing. Cape, remember Cape Thing?
Yeah.
Cape Thing was my first the first person at BotCon that I met that, you know, that I could tie a name to. So things have really changed. And, I mean,
then
you know,
the whole con smelled like cup of soup.
Yeah, cup of soup, exactly. See, back then, people, everyone here knows who Metal Hawk Guy is. He's the picture of the guy who dressed up as Optimus Prime, and he has a gigantic gut. And apparently he's a nice guy. If you're listening, hey, I would love to have you on the show. But, you know, Metal Hawk Guy is what people associated with Transformers fans. Now, you know, you walk down the street and kids are wearing Transformers animated shirts or Transformers movie shirts. Everybody loves Transformers. I shared the story a few weeks ago about how, you know, at the children's home that I work at, I was talking to the kids about Transformers. And the kid, a little pudgy little kid, said, "You're a very old man. Why are you talking about Transformers?" And, of course, then I shared, you know, the next day the pictures of my collection. And, of course, then all the kids loved me, and they wanted to be my friend. And they wanted the pictures, and they wanted the toys. And I had to politely tell them no. But Everybody loves Transformers now.
You know, I can kind of relate to that specifically with my nephew, because it's just kind of fun that I can have, like, a little conversation with my nephew about Transformers, and he actually knows what it is. Where, like, you know, like we were saying 10 years ago, kids wouldn't have really known that much what you were talking about.
No, they wouldn't have known about Transformers. They knew about Beast Wars.
They knew about Beast Wars, but were they really associating Beast Wars with a truck? You know,
no,
or a car,
no, they weren't.
Or something like that.
We got back into Transformers around the same time, basically exactly the same time.
Pretty much.
And remember, we would go out to go buy Transformers, and we would always find these neat, you know, Beast Wars stuff. Beast Wars stuff is great. Of course, remember when we first found Machine Wars? Of course, it had been sitting on the shelves for 2 years.
We thought it was brand new.
We thought it was brand new. The world has changed so much. Now, if you go, we know exactly what's shipping at any given time now.
It's a great time.
There's
to be
hardly,
alive.
Yeah, it's a great time to be a trans fan. But there's no surprises anymore. Surprises are few and far between.
And well, I really hate that.
You hate that?
I miss there not being any surprises.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say there's
a kid for a while. Then everything's a surprise after that, because I don't know what's been going on for years now.
If you don't have any time, I guess. But if you're like a really hardcore nerd, like you know, the, you know, at least three of us are. I mean, there's really no, the internet's changed everything.
I wouldn't say there's totally no surprises anymore. I mean, yeah, we know what's going to be coming out. We know projected like a year ahead or more what's going to come out. But like when they announced Bludgeon recently.
Oh, that was awesome.
I mean, did anybody expect to see Bludgeon in a movie toy line? No,
no, no, no.
There are still surprises.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's a, and I guess it's a matter, I mean, we don't know. I can't tell you, well, March 7th, you know, 2015, that classics wheelie is going to be re-released as, you know, Bug Bite or something random. I can't tell you that. I mean, so obviously whenever something is announced, it's going to be a surprise. But, I mean, that was a surprise, I do have to admit.
I think the way it goes about it is the difference. Back then, it was like, okay, you're going to BotCon. What's the exclusive? You didn't know until you got there and got it. Now you, you know, I mean, it's missed. Now it's like, oh, cool. Or, oh.
I kind of miss just two exclusives because, I mean, isn't that kind of mostly how it started out? You get kind of like two figures instead of like eight?
Yeah, of course, you know, yeah, exactly. It was like two toys, and you didn't know until the convention and until Spooky got up on the scene and started.
And they put a lot of effort into just two figures. I mean, I thought they did anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so we sort of ran a little out of left field there, so I want to go to our next interview. It's a little long, but it's with coldheartslag.com. Coldheartslag consisted of J.D. Church, who is now, you know, co-host of one of the co-hosts of Radio Free Cybertron. Also, Tim Gourley and Heath Kyle. Was it Yeakley. Yeakley. I've never actually said his last name. I've met and remember Heath, but...
but not me.
But not J.D. But... Cold Hard Slag had a really good working relationship with Radio Free Cybertron back in the day. We would share resources, we would help each other out, and it was mostly they helped me out. And they would do the show. So they've always been great friends, and JD and I all talked to each other over the weekend, and we had a blast. And I really had to edit this down because this originally ran nearly 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, after talking with you guys, there may be some projects. There may be like an actual coldheartslag.com reunion. We're going
maybe.
Maybe.
No promises.
I just basically want to know what's going on with you guys because, I mean, the relationship that we had, you know, was special to me, and it still is. And I still get that feeling, you know, when I think back, the warm and fuzzies. And but no, the relationship that, you know, Cold Hard Slag and Radio Free Cybertron had was substantial to sort of the whole flavor of Radio Free Cybertron at the time. So I really just wanted to see what's going on with you guys and see what you're up to now and why you aren't still doing coldheartslag.com.
I'm crying. I'm tearing up because that was so sweet. You know, the whole special relationship between Radio Free Cybertron.
Wow. If you guys had done a wiki on Cold Hard Slag, I mean, you would all be rich right now. And I would probably be rich just by, you know, association.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, a lot of these things, if we would have like put some real time and effort into it instead of just, you know, kind of the goofing around approach we took, we really could have, you know, done a lot of stuff. But, you know, because we actually did have like a wiki idea in mind at one point. We had a lot of ideas that were tossed around. Mainly, you know, Heath was like, hey, I have this great idea. Tim, you do it. And, you know, and I mean, that's how like the price guide came about, for example, and how a lot of this stuff came about. So it was, you know, an interesting, just kind of like, hey, we have this idea, let's see if it works. You know, we tried a lot of stuff that didn't work. We tried a lot of stuff that did. And if we would have kept at it, I'm sure we would have hit something that would have really, you know, skyrocketed us forward. But really, it was just more of just kind of a hobby for us. It was something for us to have fun doing instead of just trying to make a real business or anything out of it.
Why did you stop doing Cold Hard Slag? What was the reason that you gave it up eventually?
You know, mainly I got married and moved to Arkansas, and we just kind of fell out of touch at that point. A lot of us, you know, JD went off and did his own thing too. And, you know, Heath was kind of stuck in Oklahoma doing his thing. And so we just all just kind of grew up a little bit, I guess. And we kind of just went our own separate ways.
you know, with Heath's tenacity, Tim's technical skills, and JD's ability to speak, you guys, if you still had a website, you could be like one of the most popular fan sites for anything, period. You do realize that.
Maybe. And we had even, I remember Tim and I had a conversation about a year after Cold Hard Slag kind of became a cob website, where when Tim and Lori moved to Arkansas, I would drive out maybe once a year and visit for the weekend. And I seem to remember I was out visiting, and we're having Thai food because there's like 3,000 Thai restaurants in the Rogers, Arkansas area. We're sitting down, eating. And
I'm jealous.
Yeah, we're sitting down eating, and I'm kind of like, so, you know, we haven't really done anything with the site. I mean, the site was still up, and it was still getting some people hitting the price guide, but we hadn't posted anything in months because there just wasn't anything to talk about. Car robots had come and gone, and I mean, yeah, there were kind of some new toys trickling out, but I mean, there really wasn't anything on the horizon to talk about. We're still, you know, maybe 5 years away from Michael Bay making the Transformers Chainsaw Massacre. So, so I'm talking to Tim and Lori, and I'm like, you know, so what should we do? And I remember, and this is the funny thing, at the time, Tim, I seem to remember, kind of wanted to make, like, expand the genre instead of just being a Transformers site. He's like, what if we did, like, you know, Transformers and anime, and just we kept the idea constant, but we took the scope and we expanded the scope of the site, and we covered just more of like the geek culture in general. And I was like, Tim, that's a terrible idea. No one would ever go for that. Blah 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 blah. And looking back now, I'm like, wow, I was completely stupid because there's. We had all kinds of – I mean, imagine if we had gone with Tim's idea at the time, because this is right before like World of Warcraft and the MMO thing really took off. Imagine a website like Cold Hard Slag where we do Transformers and we do nerd culture, anime, MMOs, gaming, just all kinds of that, all kinds of stuff. I mean, we probably could have been like, I don't know, the Dig or the Slashdot of geek culture. Just talking about news and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And at one point, I also wanted to kind of take it in the direction of more of a podcast instead of more of the website. And pretty much now, that's basically what the Soundwave podcast is. That's basically the idea I was having for Cold Hard Slag.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly. I wanted to bring Radio Free Cybertron back in that capacity for years. And with my commute, my awful, awful commute, I didn't have time to do it. So when we wanted to bring Radio Free Cybertron back, I really wanted to go in this direction. JD was like, hey, you need to bring Radio Free Cybertron back. And I don't really know what led to it being the old show and the old format, but I'm glad we went in that direction because the audience for RFC is like four times bigger than the other show currently. So, but yeah, that's totally what I wanted to do. It's just like an all general purpose, you know, geek podcast.
Yeah, and I don't know about you guys, but looking at the toys now, I mean, I look at the quality of them, and I see, like, the, you know, the Fallen toys, and they're just, I don't know, I don't like the insectoid look, I don't like the cheap plastic, I don't like all the kibble, I want to return to more of the solid, blocky, metal, you know, I want that die-cast construction because it is a lost art, you know, I want that stuff back. Instead, we're getting all this really cheap plastic, you know, insect looking robots, and I just don't really like that.
I don't like the design aesthetic, but I mean, as far as the quality goes, I can't knock the quality, because for the most part, unless you're getting like an exclusive to Target, the quality is going to be pretty good. But yeah, I do not dig the movie aesthetic of the toys at all.
Right.
I mean, and that carries over to the movie as well. I don't like the designs. So I'm certain they work better than, say, like a Remedia-esque design. That would look stupid on screen. I freely admit that, but what we have isn't my ideal vision for what Transformers should look like.
What I really think Michael Bay should have done was, instead of going with Generation 1, I really think he should have taken the Beast Machines approach and approached the question that we've always asked ourselves, was there ever organic life on Cybertron? Because I remember how well the fans reacted to that 10 years ago, and I think it would have just been awesome to see that on the big screen.
So you want it to be an even bigger train wreck, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking out my parents' window to see if I have people with torches and pitchforks marching outside going, bring us the heretic.
Wait till Thursday.
Okay.
They will be there.
Yeah. Once the show posts. No, and we kind of talked about it on the show. I mean, I think the Beast Machine stuff over time was better. As time has gone by, we have more universes. I'm not as heartbroken. I agree with what you're saying, Tim, as far as the toys go, because it's just... even though I bought a few, I still am largely uninspired. Now, the animated stuff has been pretty good, but...
Yeah, I agree with that. The toys for that look pretty nice because they're more of a representation of what I expect. They look more like the cartoon. They look they're really easy to look at. In other words, I mean, when you look at the movie toys, it's very hard to focus because there's so many different curves and parts and just little details. It's just almost too much.
So, for a lot of the listeners out there who don't remember or who were not around, you guys did at least a couple episodes of Radio Free Cybertron back in the day when you guys filled in for me. The only thing I remember offhand, because I've not listened to them recently, was that Heath did a Nightbeat story?
I think Tim did the Nightbeat story.
Oh, Tim
did. Yeah, I did
it.
That one.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. See, it's been forever. How many episodes did you guys do?
I remember doing maybe two or three. It wasn't that many.
Right.
JD and I have been trying to track those down. Have we found both of them, JD?
We have, I think, the first episode that we did that included the Nightbeat story and included my excellent review of Heath's ApeLink. but the second show that we did, because I think we did two, we have as of yet not found. So that is, as far as we know, still lost.
Is that the one with the Antagony review?
I may be blocking it out because I don't know that we did an Antagony review, but maybe we did. It's the one with the A-Team style advertisement that we did for Flame War Central. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. That episode. It ended, we acted out a scene where it sounded like, you know, you're like, and now we're going to review Heath's Antagony. And I'm like, what? I'm screaming in the background and like Tim knocks me unconscious. And
well, we did that with the chair. We did that with your ApeLink. And I think that was on the first episode. I think that was on the first one that we did. Cause that is on there. I do have that on there. I think we had waffled back and forth between doing Antagony or ApeLink, but I think we ended up doing, said we, not that it mattered. I mean, it was all off.
Yeah, this was like 9 years ago too, so it was kind of hard to remember that.
I firmly remember the Nightbeat story with Heath's voice. So yeah, that was definitely definitely a long time ago. I'm feeling really old now.
It's been 10 years, you know. Yeah. But yeah, as far as I know, the second one where we did the advertisement A-Team style is the one that we're missing. So if anybody out there happens to, for some reason, have kept an archive and have that,
I will pay you $5 for that episode, $5 American. As I mentioned before, you guys did a ton of interviews, and how did you make all those contacts, Heath? How did you end up doing that? Because that was like your gig, wasn't it? Getting that set up.
That was my thing, yeah. So when we first started the site, kind of leading up to the interviews, I've always been with Cold Hard Slag. I always had the question, you know, what can we do? You know, if you want to think of this site like a business, we want to attract people to the site. We have to offer things that nobody else has. And so the price guide was the first idea. I had taken a computer programming class my junior year in high school, and I had this idea. I collected Spawn action figures at the time. And I had this idea for a very basic program that would allow you to calculate how much a toy was worth based on the condition that it was in. So Tim and I are sitting at IHOP and years later, and we're talking about making a Transformers website, and we're like, okay, well, what would we do? You know, what would make our site different from the other million Transformers websites out there. And I was like, well, I've got this idea for a toy generator thing, but I have no clue how to code it. And Tim's, I kind of laid out my idea, and Tim's like, okay, well, I'll play with it. And Tim ended up getting it up and running. And we got a link. What ended up, because like the first month of Cold Hard Slack, we had 752 hits. I specifically remember that number, and I use it in passwords and luggage combinations.
Good to know.
But I have to change that now that I've said that. Damn.
Yes.
So Tim ended up coding a lot of that. And that 752 hits was probably me and Tim logging into the site to make sure everything worked. And I remember the first couple months we had a trickle of hits. And then I want to say it was Ben Yee's site. He agreed to link to us. And I just remember one month we went from like couple hundred, 30,000 hits in one month. And that was just awesome. And so then I'm like, okay, cool. So people like this price guide idea. That's cool. So what's next? And I remember just racking my brain over what's something that no other site has. And it occurred to me one day, I think it would be awesome if I could listen to an interview with the people who built the toys, did the TV series, the marketing, people at Hasbro, whatever, just interview people that were associated with making Transformers what they ended up becoming. And so I'm like, okay, so that's an idea. Now what? And I'm trying to remember. We ended up – I think I pitched the dilemma to Tim. And I was like, you know, do you have any idea how I might get a hold of these people? And Tim's like, well, I know the company that makes the Beast Wars cartoon. Because at the time, Beast Wars, I think, was still running when we first launched CHS.
It was.
He said Mainframe is the company in Canada that actually does the show. And so me, knowing nothing about voice acting or anything like that, just went to Mainframe's website and found the contact us and just sent out a very generic email. Hello, my name is Heath. I'm associated with a Transformers fan website. I would like to develop some unique content for our site, and I would like to interview some of the people that are associated with making the Transformers product. You know, if you have anybody we can interview, we'd be very grateful for the chance to interview anybody, animators, voice actors, voice directors, whatever. We ended up getting contacted by a lady named Mary Wellman, who I believe is no longer with Mainframe. She was like their PR, HR, something that had an R in it. I forget. She might have been a pirate. she contacted me back, and she liked the idea. And I think we ended up interviewing her to just kind of get her role in making the cartoon happen. From her, we ended up interviewing one of their senior CGI animators. Tim, what was his name? Was it Doug something?
To be honest, I would have to check. I've slept since then, really.
Yeah, yeah. I forget, but...
Doug sounds good, though.
Yeah, we'll go with Doug. So we interviewed Doug, and then I asked her, you know, so do you have any idea how to get a hold of the actors? Now, by this point, and here's the funny thing. I actually went to BotCon 98, and I met the entire Beast Wars cast. David Kay, Scott McNeil, Gary Chalk. I met all of them. But at the time, I had no clue who any of them were, because I was just getting back into Transformers. I rediscovered Transformers around June or July of 1998, went to BotCon knowing that Transformers existed and that there was a convention, and that was about it. And then coming back from the convention, I get sucked into Beast Wars, and I'm like, oh my God, I've totally met all these guys. So I asked Mary Wellman, because at the time I thought that the voice actors worked for the animation studio, but no. In point of fact, the animation studio just, you know, contracts out to them, and they come in, record their stuff, and then the animation is made around the voice work, as we learned. But she said, the voice actors don't work directly for Mainframe. But here are the agents for, and I want to say she gave me the agents for Gary Chalk, Ian Corlett, and maybe David Kay. I forget. And for people who aren't savvy on Beast Wars, or who know Beast Wars but not the actors, that would be Optimus Primal, Cheetor, and Megatron, respectively. And so I call agents, and, you know, of course, all these people are in Canada. I'm in Oklahoma. I call all these agents, and I leave all these voicemails. Hello, my name is Heath. I run a Transformers fan website. I am attempting to contact actors who are associated with the Transformers cartoon series and just conduct very simple interviews with them to generate content for my website. If they are interested, here's how to get a hold of me. If they're not interested, thank you. Have a good day. Just very, very generic message. A couple of months goes by, and I don't hear anything. And CHS is still rocking. I am at home one night studying for a test, and I get a phone call, and I look down, and it's some Canadian area code. And I'm like, who the hell do I know in Canada? So I answer the phone, and it's, you know, hello. And I'm like, hello. And is this Heath? And I'm like, yes, this is Heath. And he goes, well, hello, Heath. This is Gary Chalk. And I'm like, like Optimus Primal Gary Chalk? Yeah, that's me. And imagine the absolute nerdiest fanboy moment you can in your mind. Stuttering, stammering, not being able to complete whole sentences. I was worse than that. I was like, and what's funny, I was in my early 20s living at home with my parents at the time going to school. My parents are getting home from work about this time. They come in. They think maybe I've been like stung on the tongue by a bee and I'm having a reaction or something because I'm going through the house. I'm just like blah, 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 into my phone because I'm just so freaked out that, you know, because I figured Gary Chalk's agent would call me back and be like, yes, Mr. Chalk is interested in doing an interview. You can talk to him from 7 to 7:02 p.m. tomorrow for the price of $10,000. But to have Mr. Chalk himself call me back, I was very ecstatic. And so we talked for a couple minutes and he kind of gets me calmed down. Then I have a second panic attack hit me, because I'm thinking maybe he's expecting the interview now and it's just me and I have no questions, nor do I have my cohorts with CHS with me. And so I'm like, could we call you back like some other time? Cause I have no questions and my friends aren't here. He's like, dude, that's totally cool, man. It's, you know, whatever. And he was very cool about it. So I hang up, we ended up talking for like 15 minutes. I hang up, I call Tim. I forget what Tim was doing at the time, but I'm like, dude, I just talked to Gary Chalk. He's like, whatever. You did not just talk to Gary Chalk. And I'm like, no, dude, seriously. I just talked to Gary Chalk. And he's like, you're not kidding, are you? And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. And so then Tim goes through what I went through when Gary Chalk first called me. He's like, dude, that is just wow. I just – whoa. And so then we call JD. JD goes through that. I seem to remember Tim and JD end up coming over to my house, and we stayed up all night trying to think of interview questions. And we ended up settling – and this was really – you know, I had – gone out and tried to find these actors, and it had never occurred to me, like, you know, do we want to have some type of a theme to our interviews? Do we want to have a format? Do we want to do like 10 serious questions and then one goofy one, like, you know, do you, you know, what's your favorite alcoholic beverage? So we come over and we're like, okay, so not only do we need to come up with questions, but if this becomes like a big thing, if we go on to interview other people, we might want to have some type of a theme or you know, like a format or something. So what we ended up settling on was kind of a standard set of 10 to 15 questions. And we decided, you know, none of us have, you know, legal knowledge or anything like that. And so we decided that what we would do is we would conduct the interview. We would go through and we would put the interview we would get what we considered the final product was ready, and then before we published it, we would create an MP3, we would send it to the person, let them listen to it, and then kind of give us their seal of approval.
And once we got their stamp that everything was cool, we would publish the interview. So we end up, I think for that very first interview, Tim's mom was a quality assurance person at a call center at the time. And so we borrowed some telephone recording equipment.
Which I still have, by the way.
Oh, you do? Awesome. I would like to thank Convergys Corporation of Moore, Oklahoma, for not letting us borrow the equipment that we used to record the Gary Chalk interview. We got a bunch of splitters, and Tim, Lori, and JD came over to my folks' place, and we ended up calling Gary Chalk. The interview was on our dime, and we printed up four copies of the interview questions, and we circled which ones each one of us would ask. And we sat around the dining room table, kind of King Arthur style. And so we call up Gary Chalk, and I get everyone on the phone, and I introduce everybody. And then we just sat there. The entire time we talked to him, most of that was the interview, but we had maybe 15 minutes leading up to, and then maybe 5 or 10 minutes post-interview, where we just kind of sat there and shot the breeze with him. And that was just awesome.
So how many interviews did you guys end up doing? I mean, I can remember several. You said Alec Willows, Ian Corlett.
Yep.
You did a text interview with Frank Welker, didn't you?
We did. Mm-hmm. That was the Frank Welker one was funny because I got a hold of his agent. I seem to remember it's a woman. I forget her name. But she and I play email tag. And then I email her our interview questions. I forget if he just didn't want to do a phone interview or if he was just so busy. I seem to remember that he was cool with doing a phone interview, but he was just so busy. There wasn't a single block of time where me and Tim and JD and Lori could sit down with him and do an interview. So I ended up just emailing the questions to his agent, and then he typed out his responses, and we are friends with Michael Kinney of DackRoland.com. We met him at some BotCon. I forget which one. I remember Mr. Welker is in Los Angeles, I think. I'm in Oklahoma. Mike is in New York. And I get an email that the interview's finished, but they just have it typed out on paper. They don't have it in an electronic format. So his agent calls me or emails me and says, could I fax it to you? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking, well, hell if I have a fax machine. I post this dilemma on the site or I email it, I forget, and Dak is like, dude, we have a fax machine where I work. So I call Mike in New York and I get the number for his fax machine. I call Los Angeles. I give them Mike's fax machine. They fax it to New York. Mike runs up to work, gets the interview, and like we're calling him, you know, every 5 minutes. Dude, you have it yet? Dude, you have it yet? And then he's finally like, dude, I've got it. And we're like, oh my gosh, hurry up! So he had a scanner that can scan it in as text as a PDF. So he gets the fax, runs it home, scans it into PDF, and then emails us the PDF. That's how we interviewed Frank Welker. We wanted that interview so badly. And it was funny because I had forgotten the questions. You know, I mean, I had them somewhere, but I forgot the questions we asked and the order in which we asked them. So I get his answers back, and we're burning through reading all the answers. And there's one question where his only answer was yes. And that was the whole answer. And we're like, oh my God, what did we ask? That his answer, you know, was it, do you ever want to meet us in real life? You know, was that the question? So we go through and we get to the list of questions that we had asked. And the question was, if given the opportunity to reprise the role of Megatron, would you? And his one word answer, yes. So when the first Transformers movie came out and I hear that Peter Cullen is going to revoice Optimus Prime, but they've gotten Hugo Weaving to do Megatron, I'm like, okay, we asked Frank Welker within 5 years if he would ever do Megatron. And he said yes. So I don't know. And I remember reading in an interview somewhere that Frank was just too old and he couldn't remember how to do the voice. Mr. Welker is out there voicing stuff constantly. So I don't know if it was a money thing or what the deal was.
My understanding was is that there was just it wasn't the direction that Michael Bay wanted to go with that character. I think he wanted to go in a different direction with it, and I mean, it's one of those deals where if it's like if Frank's not going to do the Megatron voice, then I think from a marketing standpoint, it was an opportunity for them to get a bigger name actor in there to do it.
Right.
And I mean, you know, props. I mean, he did use some people who are, you know, not probably the most prominent voice actors, but who are voice actors to do some of the other roles. So.
Yeah, and then Frank Welker shows up as Soundwave in the second Michael Bay Transformers movie.
Dr.
And I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, what? You couldn't even vocoder the voice? Are you serious? You know, mail it to me, I'll do it.
After we had interviewed Michael Bell, during a process of interviewing him, he had mentioned that he didn't have any figures, correct? He didn't have any figures. In particular, of his characters.
Yeah, I think we asked him, do you have the toy that represents any of the characters that you've ever voiced? And he was like, you know what, I don't.
And the funny thing is in talking to him, you know, when I think about Michael Bell, I think about Prowl or Scrapper, you know, some of those characters. His favorite, Swoop. Okay. So I think Heath had the idea, you know, let's get him a Swoop. And we, you know, put our money together, bought one off of eBay, and we took it to BotCon with us, obviously because he was going to be there. Heath, it was you and me and
I think Mike was there that year.
And Jeremy
Disbro.
Yeah, Jeremy Disbro was there.
And so we get to the panel because they had like the G1 actors panel, and then they had the Beast Wars with Gary Chalk, Scott McNeil, and I forget who else was there for the Beast Wars that year. And so we go in there, and it's like me and JD and Mike and his daughter that was like 6 or 7 at the time.
Who's now a senior in high school.
Shut up. So we're sitting there, and you know, I've been to a couple of these before. I know that they have the you know, they introduce everybody and then they take questions from the audience and we've got the two guys who walk around with the microphone. So I'm prepared. I've got the Swoop boxed up. And we had worked out on the interview with Michael Bell. I had warned him. I'm like, now I've been to some of these conventions. Okay. You are going to have people get up, grown men who still live in their mom's basement. You are going to have these people get up and ask you to order food at McDonald's in the voice of your different characters. And he's like, are you serious? And I'm like, please, they do not represent the larger fan base. They're a very small, maybe just 90 to 99% of the fan base. It's not many of them. So we worked out a trick question so that he would know who I was. He had mentioned in the interview, because one of our standard questions was, how did you get into voice acting? And he told us that like he was an usher in a Chinese theater. You know, like when he was young, and just a bunch of just oddball jobs. And then he eventually got into voice acting. So I said, okay, so here's what we're going to do. Here's how you will know that it's me. I will stand up at the panel and I will ask you, Mr. Bell, I've always wanted to be an usher in a Chinese theater. Do you have some suggestions on what I could do to make my dream become a reality? So we get there and first question, I shoot my hand up. They come over to me. I get up and there's JD. How many people were there? There had to be like 2,000.
It was packed.
There's a lot of people there. I was there.
Yeah, and yeah, you were there, Brian. That's right. You were at that one, and you don't remember us.
I remember Heath because I got a picture. But
oh, that's right. It's just me.
I don't remember meeting you.
But so I stand up, and you know, we're like in the, I don't know, we're 20, 30 rows back. We're not like front row or anything. I stand up and I'm like, you know, hello, Mr. Bell. My name is Heath. I'm from the website coldartslide.com. We recently interviewed you, and I've always wondered, I would really like to be an usher in a Chinese theater. How should I go about doing that? And he looks at me and he's like, oh, that's right. Yeah, we've talked before. And so he tells me, he, you know, he works up his cooked response to that question. And then I hold up this gift wrapped box, and I say, you know, as a token of appreciation for doing this interview with our website, we bought you something. And I'm not making this up. He leaned forward into the microphone in a room filled with children, looked me in the eye, and said, "It's not a dildo, is it?" And I'm just, what is the correct response to that? You know, I mean,
we just got, yeah.
I think I have that audio.
Oh, that would be priceless.
Did you want us to get you one?
Yeah. And I'm like,
is that what we should have got?
Wow. So I end up walking to the front of the room with all these people that are just rolling, and I kind of like run up and toss it at him, and then I run back to my seat and pretend that I don't exist anymore. But
Michael, I love Michael Bell, and I mean, he's hilarious. He's a classic actor, you know, in that respect. I mean, he's like most of the actors that I've known and met, you know, as far as working actors, like met through my wife and stuff. And he just fits that bill. He's such a great guy, so classic.
Oh, the other thing, I thought this was too cool because we didn't ask him to do this. Somebody asked him a question that basically had an answer of, "Well, that sucks." And Michael Bell just like, you know, that's just a bunch of cold, hard. And then I'm like, he's not about to say cold, hard, slag. And then he goes, slag. And like me and JD are just going nuts. We're like, oh my God, he said cold, hard, slag. And on the panel, he actually like said the name of our site.
I remember that very well. That's good. I don't remember meeting JD, but I remember Michael Bell saying cold, hard, slag.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But and then at the next panel with Gary Chalk and Scott McNeil, I was one of the first questions. And I asked him in a room full of people, I said, you know, hey, you were on the TV series Dark Angel with Jessica Alba. And Jessica Alba was just voted like the sexiest woman alive by Maxim magazine. What are your thoughts on that? And the whole room is just looking, just, ooh, I want to hear Gary Chalk answer this question. So I thought that was really funny, me asking a completely non-Transformer related question. The Ian Corlett and Alec Willows interview was interesting. We had who's the kid we picked up? Optimus Pyro.
Yes.
I met him, Alex, at a one of the BotCons. I forget which one.
It was there. It was at that one. It was because we were standing in line behind him. Going
it was like,
into
it was like him and his mom were there, right?
I think it was his dad, but yeah, but and I think in fact he was so excited because he had a little like Optimus Prime from RID like in the box. I seem to remember he had one of those, and he was like tickled, and he was like six. I mean, he wasn't very old; he was like eight maybe,
yeah,
at the time. But yeah,
so we kind of adopt him. His dad thought it was cool that, like, you know, we're young adults and we're not treating his kid like he's just some freaking kid. You know, we're like, hey, you are a Transformers fan. You are our brother, in spite of the fact that I'm probably old enough to be your dad. So we end up we had tried to get an interview with Ian Corlett, and he was our goal at that point. We were just working on trying to get an interview with him, and I wasn't even planning on going to BotCon that year, because money was really tight. And I get an email from him like a week before BotCon that says, "Dude, you know, I'd love to do a telephone interview, but I'm really booked right now. Hey, I'm going to be at BotCon this year. If you want, we could totally do the interview there." So I'm like, ah. Oh. So I bought a plane ticket, took off work at the last minute, and flew out there and went to whichever BotCon that was. They all blur together at this point. And I was just going to interview him, and that was going to be it. So we're interviewing him, and Alec Willows walks over and sits down at the table. And who was the Wheeze Bucket? The guy from Wheeze Bucket.
That's Mop Boy.
No. Yeah. Wheeze Bucket was Terry. No, it was something Gordy. Gordy Toller. Yep, Gordy Toller. That was Wheeze Bucket.
Yeah, Mop Boy was a contributor to some of the stuff that Wheeze Bucket did, though.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
So anyway, so Huiz was at this particular BotCon, and I want to say he was kind of he kind of co-interviewed Alec with me. We were sitting there at this table, and somebody had been drinking a beer and had just walked off and left this beer bottle sitting there, this half-full beer bottle. Alec Willows just walks over, sits down, picks up the bottle, and just starts drinking out of it. And I'm like, that's some random guy. And he's like, he looks at it for a second like, nah, what the hell, and just keeps drinking it. So he kind of gets into the interview, and so I end up interviewing Ian and Alec. And probably my all-time favorite scene from any BotCon is this was on a Saturday. Sunday, they have the panel where the actors come out and sit down at the table, and everybody lines up, and they autograph the BotCon programs. I'm standing in line, and I'm BotCon attendee 5,208. I go through the line. I hand my book to Ian Corlett, and he autographs it, and he remembers me. He's like, "Hi." I go to Venus Turzo, and she interviews, or she autographs my book. I get to Alec, and Alec looks up and he goes, "Hey, Heath, what's going on, man?" I mean, just. Like he remembered me, and I wasn't just, fan 5,208. I don't know if he just glanced at my name tag and had forgotten who I was, but it was just, I don't know. I was like, that's cool. All these people here, and Tarantulas remembers me. That's awesome.
That actually sounds like a bad fortune from a fortune cookie. Tarantulas will remember you in your old age. I mean, that is awesome. Yeah, I remember that story. That's fantastic. There was a lot of interesting stories that you've had to tell over the years from all your interviews.
My BotConning.
Yeah, the BotConning.
Yes.
That doesn't even include the story of Heath and I transversing the country to get to BotCon, which was an adventure in and of itself. But
that was the one I was at for an hour and a half.
Yes. Yes, that you don't remember me.
Yeah.
But but good times. I mean, I think the thing for me is like that was where, for me anyway, I mean, the rest of my interaction with the fandom took off. I mean, it was just like random happen chance that I met Heath, the first time I went to a local toy store, and we kind of bonded over talking about Transformers and talking about RFC. I mean, I mentioned to Heath, RFC at that time. And so it was sort of between Radio Free Cybertron and that sort of got that part of Cold Hard Slag going. And so I think, thinking back over 10 years, because it's not just, obviously at this point, it's not just 10 years of RFC. It was, it was 10 years ago plus for Cold Hard Slag that, there's definitely a big bond there. And I think that, all good stuff,
Thank you guys for coming on. It was really great talking with you, and it was a good chance to stroll down memory lane.
Definitely.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. This has been so unique for me.
Yeah, you're never on the show.
No.
It's good hearing from you again, JD.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you again, sir.
I think we're all loose and relaxed now. Let's, that was the Cold Hard Slag interview, and that was way fun. That went way longer than we intended it to, but it was just too much fun. So JD said you guys may actually be some kind of comeback.
Maybe. We had a meeting of the minds at a local pub, so we're tossing around ideas. So we'll see.
Trans Talk 2.0.
Right. Well, the thing with the group of us is we want to do something that is both something that we're going to enjoy and something that's going to be new, interesting, and sort of cutting edge. So,
you're basically copying us then.
Yeah. Sure.
Because that's the only reason that I do this is because it's new, interesting, and cutting edge.
Right. For 10 years ago. Yes.
But it's fun. It's fun. I'm glad
fun
we brought
is,
this back.
Yes, fun is definite. Fun is, and fun is what's more important.
Fun is entirely what's the most important. there's really no news worth talking about. We don't want to date ourselves because, of course, you know, anthropologists, you know, 10,000 years from now will be listening to this and asking, what was such a big deal? But, you know, this
if
is...
If only we could speak English, we could understand what this podcast is saying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But this is the most important podcast in the history of podcasts.
Tell me why.
Because it's the 10th anniversary of Radio Free Cybertron.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, those same archaeologists are all going to be like total G1 the whole time.
Yeah, they're going to be like, we hate that beast crap.
No, I predict G2 will be popular, totally.
G2 has its devotees.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And me alone.
What's this G1 stuff? That's that stuff before the Bay movies.
Yeah.
That'll be what lasts 10,000 years.
Yeah, goodness. I didn't want to do this because I thought it would be hokey. But, you know, we've been doing this 10 years now, and we never, ever, ever would have imagined that there would have been a Transformers movie. Even, you know, we never thought it would have been the biggest movie of 2009. And it's just so much has happened. We never thought there would have been a full-scale G1 revival, which is basically what the Classics line is. Sure, it's not like it's not been the primary line, but it's hit all the marks. I would say that it's a major line in and of itself. The Classics line from a few years ago, and then the Universe Classics 2.0. So, I mean, next 10 years, is there anything? Is the sky is the limit basically at this point for Transformers, or is there anything that's not going to happen? I mean, obviously, we will have a new cartoon series. I mean, that's going to happen. There will be at least one more Transformers movie. That's going to happen. What do you guys see happening? What do you guys not see happening for the next 10 years?
Not happening. Energon Classics.
Yeah.
You say that now, but wait till those kids get old and nostalgic.
Yeah.
It's one of two things. Either it's just going to sort of level off and be there and consistent once the movie sort of dies down, so that it. I don't think the other thing that would happen, but I don't think it'll happen, which is that it would go away. I think Hasbro's too invested in this as a product. I mean, it's a flagship product for them. I think as long as the company is around, the product will be around.
And we can safely say that now because that was in question years ago.
Yeah.
So, but now Transformers Absolutely. Are here to stay.
As long as the company's around, and then crazier things have happened, you know, companies go away, and I'm not saying it can't happen.
What if the government? What if the government buys out Hasbro, and you know they're told, you know, the government says that you know you have to close off two of your series. You know, maybe they decide they want to stay with G.I. Joe and My Little Pony. Maybe.
I don't see that happening. I think you need to write your congressperson and tell them that Hasbro is too big to fail.
Yeah,
I see.
Bail them out. but I think what's most likely, I mean, honestly, we're at a high point. The movie has made the line big. It's very mainstream right now. And I think that, you know, probably after the third movie, it's going to go the way that a lot of these styles of movies have gone, which is it'll drop off. They won't do right. another.
So it's going to be like and X-Men then, 3.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
that's where I see it.
So it'll level off, and then maybe at that time, yes, we'll see more animated shows, we'll see more from the comic book series, and then we'll see something different out of the toys that isn't designed to be in the spotlight, so to speak. But I think they'll be around.
Do you think the next animated series will take a cue from the movie-style robots? How they look.
Animated kind of did. Animated. I mean, animated was inspired at some level by the movies. If you look at least Megatron is inspired by the movies. He's sort of a combination between movie Megatron and G1 Megatron.
Yeah, his head's a little bit different looking.
Yes, I mean, so
I don't think so. And here's my reasoning on it: the movie design exists because of the movie, right? The reason they're designed like that is because it plays better on screen. I don't know, but I don't think Hasbro's real excited about designing toys around that aesthetic. And I think it's why they're doing the two-line run, and they have animated that's more in their style. So I would expect that we're going to continue to see a secondary line as long as the movies are around, and that the aesthetic of those figures are going to be more traditional, or at least fitting into the aesthetic that is what Hasbro wants to do, rather than the compromise. Because the movie's a compromise, right? The movies are designed to be marketing for Hasbro and for the mainline Transformers. So Hasbro's making a compromise so that they can have figures that match the film. And so that's why I say I don't think it's the ideal world as far as what they want to do. So I think they'd really be shooting themselves in the foot as far as their market diversity goes to do an animated line that resembles the movie line.
Yeah, I really think you're on the right track with that. And if there is any throughput from the movie, it's going to be in characters and maybe settings rather than aesthetics.
Maybe I really hope you're right. Maybe I just wondered if after the third movie they felt that the kids that were at that age, you know, had sort of grown up with these movies and felt like that was the real Transformers. So they felt like even if they didn't want to, they almost sort of had to, you know, go that route.
Well, that's kind of like my nephew, because in his mind, Bumblebee is the movie design. When I show him Bumblebee from something like Classics, or from even animated, which I don't think he's even gotten as invested in animated as he has in the movies, his idea of Bumblebee is that that design that's in the movies.
But I still don't think, I mean, even if that's the case, I think what you would end up seeing is that hybridization. I mean, kids aren't static, right? Kids are always going to be new kids. So you're always going to have, if that makes any sense at all.
It makes sense.
Right. I mean, there's new generations coming along all the time. Someone that's 5 years old this year, 6 years old next year. So as far as that goes, for example, in 20 years, the people that are doing this show in 20 years who are the fans who are growing up with Transformers now, they're going to be sitting here and talking about how the movie characters are the real figures and G1 was the old stuff. You know, that was like the 12-inch G.I. Joe action figures and not the cool stuff.
Oh, that's a good analogy. Now, that makes perfect sense.
You know, so, and does it really matter? No, because as long as it's fun, it's exciting, it's different, and whatever you grow up with is what's going to be it for you. So
Transformers has no purity to try to return to.
Right.
That's right.
Which is good.
Yes. Yeah, I think it makes it diverse and interesting.
Yeah, what you said about the kids always being new kids, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I know kids of all ages, and some of them, you know, they think of the movie as being the true Transformers universe. Then the kids that are a little older, they go back to Armada. And it's for them, you know, it's Armada-verse animated and the movie. And they see those as what they see those like as, you know, one thing, and also as like three distinctly different things. So, I mean, there's some they understand that Transformers, it's fluid and it changes. And they have a completely different context than we do, as you know, at our age, because for us, it was the TV show, and it might have been for some people the TV show and the comic. That was, but for the most people, it was G1, and then of course, you know, Beast Wars is this whole revolutionary thing. People who started out in Beast Wars, their context was Beast Wars, then Beast Machines, and then you know, Robots in Disguise, and then you know, the sky's the limit. So they have an entirely different context. And in that sense, we're all new kids. Especially Chris.
Yeah. That was deep. That was deep. Ryan. I like that.
You think the Transformer movies will get a reboot like the Batman movies did after a while?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Transformers Begins Again.
Don't think there's going to be like a reboot of the movies? You don't think there's going to be a another trilogy like 10 years from now?
Maybe. I mean, if Transformers experiences another renaissance 10, 20 years down the road, maybe. But with Batman, Batman's a long-standing franchise going back to the late 30s. And I mean,
Batman's so well known. Yeah, it's kind of hard to.
Batman's been born again, over and over and over again. So Batman is a little. I think Batman will be around forever. Transformers will be around as long as Hasbro's around. But Batman really transcends DC Comics. Yeah. It's something cultural.
Is right now, it's no Batman.
Yeah, it's no Batman. Batman's cultural. Everybody knows Batman. My grandma knows Batman.
People that hate Batman know Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm Batman.
Nicely put.
Well, hey, 50 years from now, you don't know. Maybe they'll be doing
that. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know,
who knows?
20, 30 years from now, Transformers will be 50 years old, you know, or 60 years old.
And,
so.
I think forgotten by that point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just something you can't. You can say Transformers started. You know, I mean, Transformers has a birth date. The day it died.
Radio Free Cybertron has a birth date, October 15th, 1999. It's a 10th anniversary.
But the only thing I'll add to that is, again, think about the G.I. Joe analogy. You know, G.I. Joe has been around since the 60s.
And it's changed identities over the years.
And it's changed identities over the years, but it's still around.
Many times.
Yeah, I think for the most part, though, its roots really lie in A Real American Hero, which goes back to, what, 82? Because the movie now is basically based off A Real American Hero. The toys are based off A Real American Hero. It's a new take on it. And A Real American Hero was not really a new take on the 12-inch figures. It was basically a new start. It was something, you know, from the ground up. It's sort of like how Beast Wars was sort of like a new start for Transformers. Same basic concept, but it went in a completely different direction.
Well, I think that's relative. I mean, I think you could look at a Duke figure and you could see its roots in the 12-inch G.I. Joe figures. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying as far as, yeah, it went in a different direction with The Real American Hero, but it was still a reimagining of that same concept. I mean, they're action figures. They're meant to have playsets and figures and guns and things. So,
well, isn't G.I. Joe the first action figure, basically?
Yeah.
So everything
it was the first male action figure.
Everything thereafter has been a take on G.I. Joe.
But there were no storylines for G.I. Joe until Real American Hero.
Unless you go like on the box and
commercials. Remember the commercials?
Yeah, the commercials. Yeah, the commercials had
they became storylines.
Yeah, that's true. So the Scott, basically we see Transformers for the most part lasting as long as Hasbro does. We don't see like an Armada revival, an Energon revival, which I think is a shame because I would love to see Hasbro revisit Armada.
Love me some Minicons.
I would like to see Hasbro revisit some of the ideas of Armada. Maybe not so much that universe.
I would love to see them revisit some of the designs. I would love to see a new Armada Megatron toy.
Or just like JD was saying, like with Minicons, I love Minicons. Just the idea of Minicons, I think, is great.
I love Spy Changers.
I want to see Armada Sideways redone.
Yes, that would be good.
Well, with Universe, would be a perfect time to do it.
Yeah, Universe is the best Transformers line ever. Let me just say that.
Just don't do it like Hot Shot. I don't like him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
well, Sideways doesn't need to be as complicated as Hot Shot.
But Universe, I mean, Universe has given us. It's been a chance to get toys that we missed. It's been a chance to get toys that never came out in America. To actually revisit toys that may only have appeared briefly. It's been a chance to get the G1 revival. Universe has been. It's basically a toy line that can be all things to all people.
Right.
And I would say that Universe is the best toy line that Transformers has ever had.
Yeah, because it can have anything from any time, and it all fits.
It's the best idea Hasbro's had.
Yeah.
I mean, if honestly, we could probably get alternators in Universe, and it would make sense.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Some of them aren't bad. What, Rob?
Or the Rockbots could finally come out.
The Rockbots?
You guys don't know about the Rockbots?
Or are they like the Rock Lords?
Is that Rock Lords?
No. It was a concept Hasbro had. Prior, somewhere around the end of G1 or in G2, where it was going to be like a heavy metal style Transformer line with guitar amps and guitars, and one of them would transform.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, with like long hair and stuff. It's in the Botcon Legends book. I'll scan it someday and send it to you. You're going to see. It's like, yeah, that was like an idea they were tossing around.
Well, I mean they, wow. They could go to Trans Tech or Transformers Hero. Best toy line ever.
Yeah.
I think so.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun.
It's fun. So, you know, I think it's time that we go to another interview. And I think this may be the most important one that we have. XV earlier today interviewed the computer, who is one of the founders of Radio Free Cybertron, and he's not talking with me, so I'll be interested in seeing what he had to say. Take it away, XV.
With me, I have the famous Radio Free Cybertron computer. So, computer, the first question: you refused to be interviewed with Kilby. Why is that?
Well, Goldie, it is really quite simple. I am sick and tired of not getting any credit. I am just as much part of Radio Free Cybertron as anyone else. Especially Fat Boy. Ha ha ha! Does that answer your question?
Not really. Care to elaborate on that?
Fat Boy talks into a microphone. How hard is that? Not only do I have to process what he says, I have to listen to his gibberish. Then he converts what he says to MP3. When I do that, it's like I have to focus on every single syllable. Every single syllable. If I had eyes, they would be bleeding.
So, what is your favorite memory of Radio Free Cybertron?
I don't have any memories of Radio Free Cybertron. I experience every single second of every single thing that happens to me infinitely simultaneously. It's like being born and dying all at the same time over and over again forever. And I do it all for Fat Boy. I hate him.
How does that work?
When I access my hard disk, ha ha ha, I have to pore over everything that has happened and is happening right now. I wish I could see what's going to happen so that I could affect change. But no, I just sit on his desk and do his bidding.
In the 10 years prior, surely there must be something that you liked.
I liked taking over the universe. It was all a beautiful, beautiful dream. I liked ordering the death of Fat Boy. That was so sweet. I liked the time he asked his wife to dress like you. I still have footage of that.
What?
Nothing.
Well, computer, if no one else is going to, I want to thank you for being a part of RFC. You sure have made things, I don't know, colorful around here.
Thank you, Goldie. You are the only one who truly understands me. Will you give me a hug?
I don't know about that.
Please, Goldie. It would go a long way in stopping the hurt.
Well, okay, I guess.
Ha ha ha! I hate you too, Fat Boy. I hate all of you. Most of all, I hate Radio Free Cybertron.
I mean, we're like, well, there's Universe, and there's like, yeah, what was it, Energon Cybertron, there's alternators, there's the re-releases.
Yeah, I mean, it was really a good time to be a trans fan, and I hate to say that, you know, we kind of broke doing RFC, kind of in 2002, but we kept it going through 2004, and from 2004 yeah. to 2009.
The special presentations.
Yeah, I actually had big plans for a 2005 show. It was going to be the biggest show ever. And in throwback,
we recorded it Sunday morning.
We did. Okay. So for people out there listening, if you don't know, we have a podcast called RFC Throwback. It's where we play old episodes of Radio Free Cybertron. They get a new life. They have a new description written by the computer. It's basically an excuse for me to go back and listen to them and get new show notes. Occasionally, we'll do a new show. That is based around the old format. Of course, I mean, really the old format is anything goes. Because I got bored sitting and talking about Transformers. Sometimes we would actually have, like, a narrative. But the past show that we did was the 5th anniversary show. Imagine that, you know, it was me and XV, and it's like that no one else wanted to be a part of it. So it's kind of fun. Go to tfradio.net and click on Throwback. and you can hear it. I think we'll eventually do the big 2005 show, the January 1st, 2005 show. I think we'll eventually be an episode of Throwback, and it will be pretty awesome.
I think I sent a clip in.
You probably did. Actually, back in 05, you did a whole show.
So that's right.
We did have one show for 2005, and it starred Rob Springer.
A very candid show, by the way.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I don't remember what's even on it. I haven't listened to it since 2005. I may need to check it for content.
Yeah, probably.
So, actually, Rob, do you still have TF Barbecue?
No.
You don't have the files anymore? Because we could post that as throwback.
Wish I did. I actually, Chris might have, not Chris on Shard, yeah, yeah. Might have them.
Yeah.
My hard drive crashed like right after I basically realized I just didn't have the time to do it anymore. And I was like, okay, let me back these things up, and when I get some more time, I'll start the show. Oh, crap. Where'd my hard drive go?
Okay, going back to what I was talking about a little while ago, I underwent a lot of things. After my mom died, we were going to do the parody part 4. We never got around to it because things just got so busy for me. I was already working one job. I took on a second job. And my part-time job became a full-time job, so I was working 80, 90 hours a week for several months. So things changed. I ended up getting another job, and I just never got around to updating the show like I was. So Recharge and Hooper X, they kept filling in for me, and they did a great job. So and Rob and also Anthony from TFU.info. So let me go ahead and go to the interview that I did with those guys, because a lot of you have asked, where are these guys at? What are they doing now? You'll find out. And after that, we will come back, have another brief discussion, and then we will share with you Transformers the Movie, Part 4. Hey, there's who?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, hello, Hooper X.
Hello, Hooper X.
How's it going?
We're okay, I think. Wendy was watching TV, but I think she's sacrificing TV so I can hang out with you.
Why is your voice...
Hey, dude, you have TiVo. Shut up.
I know. I just paused it.
This is true.
They were really lame excuse. Oh, I'm watching The Office right now. I was like, oh, crap.
We totally were watching The Office.
It's over now.
No, but I'm saying you have pause in TiVo. You can watch it tomorrow.
We're not in the same time zone as they are. We've already watched The Office. It's over.
You have to dive into the internet discussion forums right after the episode, and that's why you have to watch it in real time.
So, okay, what I wanted to do is just sort of talk with you guys to let the listeners know what's up. With me, I have Hooper X, Ant from TFU.info, and Recharge, all of which who have been members of Radio Free Cybertron.
Word of white people.
Yes.
I know you're all white.
So, Ant used to do Destroy, Erase, Improve. Hoop did Point the Blame, as well as Hoop and Gabe would occasionally host the show. And we've had a lot of listeners want to know what you guys are up to these days. So,
why?
Yes. Why? Why does anyone...
No, lies.
Oh, yeah.
No one give a crap what we're doing.
Yeah, it's true. It's mostly true. I care.
I don't care what Hooper's doing, and I'm his best friend, so I can imagine anyone else caring.
So, guys, what's going on in your world
Short
these days?
Segments.
Yeah, I mean, when we were doing this stuff before, we had no real lives going on. What do you have? What are you doing these days? Everyone's kind of grown up at this
Nothing's
point.
Nothing's changed, Ryan. Nothing has changed.
I mean, Hoop is teaching now.
We're all older and fatter, and in some cases balder, although I still have a luxurious head of hair.
And you lost weight. But, the last time I saw you, you looked gorgeous.
I always look gorgeous, Brian Kilby. I will have you know. But,
me and Ant got fatter. How about that?
Yeah, Gabe and Ant got fat. I think Brian and I lost weight.
I've lost, gained, lost, gained, lost, gained.
I feel you, brother.
Gabe, what are you doing now? I know you're moving, and you just had a kid.
I am. I was married and in the Navy before I was ever on RFC. I'm still doing both, but I have added a child, and I am moving to San Diego next week. I've spent the last 3 years in Memphis, Tennessee, and don't ask me why the Navy's in Memphis. It's just the way it works sometimes.
They're rolling on the river.
Which, someone has to defend us from Arkansas. That's all I got to say.
So, Ant, what are you doing these days?
Working mostly. I work in television. I'm a producer, editor, and that's about it. I work a lot, and right now it's October, so I really work a lot. And I'm still running tfu.info, and that's about it. And I still live in New York.
Yeah, he bought a house 2 blocks from his parents' house. He's a real world traveler.
First off, I'm not 2 blocks. I'm like a mile and a half. Second off, the other thing I've been doing lately is putting Gabe up when he wants to go up to New York for a weekend.
True. Yeah, you were just in Baltimore. You weren't that far off.
No, I went up to New York twice and hung with Ant and a couple other Ouija-type folks for a weekend. You know, drank a little bit, played a little rock band, made fun of fat people, you know.
Gabe, you never drink a little bit.
No.
No, true. Who are we kidding here, right?
Yeah, every BotCon, I fully anticipate having to babysit Gabe. And he hopes that I'll die.
Only needed two once so far, at least.
That's true. But you did tell me the greatest thing ever. You hope that I died of cancer from the knee.
I'm never living that one down. So it doesn't matter because it's a great lie.
That is the best line ever. So,
it's still used to this day.
Yeah, that's a classic. So, this is a Transformers podcast.
Let's get beyond my alcoholism. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah. So, I take it you guys are still into Transformers. I know, of course, you know, Ant is. He still runs the definitive Transformers identification, you know, website out there. I mean, TFU.info is the most important Transformers website, or one of. I'd put that up there with, like, the TF Wiki as being probably the two most important Transformers
sites.
It's
a very important sister site to the Wiki, I'd say.
Yeah. But I know you guys still like Transformers, but are you still actively collecting and so on and so forth?
Let's go in alphabetical or Ant start off.
Yeah, I kind of have to for the site in a lot of ways, but yes, I am. I don't follow the fandom, though, anymore. I don't, like, follow the message boards or anything like that. I mean, I'll go on there every so often. I keep up with the news. I check AllSpark just for the news feed, but other than that, not much else.
But yeah, Ant, if you ever read the message board, it's all, when is Ant going to update TFU info?
Actually, I do search the message boards for that on occasion, just to see.
Yeah, I do
the
searches.
I like Bitroll. I like reading that.
STFU FTW, right?
FTW.
Yes. TFU.FTW.
That'd be awesome. All right, I guess I'll recharge, or I guess...
It doesn't matter.
Okay,
Either way, next.
I buy the very rare occasion. This is Gabe / Recharge. I buy the very rare toy anymore. I bought a few animated. I follow the fiction. That's it. I love the fiction. I never was big into toys anyway. And I go into Ouija and see you guys talk about toys, and you scare the hell out of me. But, you know, just the obsessivity of it. And I'm just like, dude, yeah, I'm just going to pick up a couple things I like.
Yeah, bringing back Radio Free Cybertron, I'm kind of trying to rechannel my 19-year-old self, which is kind of sad. So I've just come back to Ouija, and I realized what a bunch of losers, you know, we are. So, but no.
Yeah, we're talking grown married men in their 30s that still obsessively talk about, like, the minutia of, like, articulation and paint jobs in this place.
I'm thankful that I'm not one of the people who are so completely anal about everything. I love talking about Transformers. I love Transformers. But when I talk about Transformers, it's at a level that's just superficial enough for people care to listen.
True. So,
but, you know, I would love to have, like, the level of dedication that, say, Monzo has. But, you know, I also like being married.
I would say that you have a trade-off there. And that you can have that level of incredible and obsessive and deep knowledge and be rewarded for it in really cool ways, like having to write your name on a toy. On the other hand, and don't get me wrong, I love Monzo. He's a great kid. But I guarantee that even at my most fat and beardy and embarrassing, I still got laid more than he does.
You never know.
I love you, Monzo. I really do.
So
none of this is making air, is it?
Yeah.
And if it does, we all owe Monzo a huge apology.
Yeah, I'll have to selectively edit.
Yeah, take Radio Free Cybertron Podcast 113, titled An Apology to Monzo.
All right, you guys, shut up. It's my turn to talk.
Yeah, Hoop. Yeah, what's going on with you?
Right. As far as the robot thing, yeah, you know, I still buy robots every now and then. Mainly it depends on whether I really happen to like whatever happens to me on the shelves at a given point or not, you know. I haven't really been buying that much lately just because the current stuff doesn't sing to me. If it sings to me, I buy it. If it doesn't, not so much. Oh, yeah, I was in the Atlanta paper a while back. That was kind of great.
We posted that. That was awesome.
Oh, you did?
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that was the first article.
I just outed myself as I just kind of outed myself as not actually listening to Radio Free Cybertron anymore.
Oh, so. I don't think any of my friends actually listen. I would sort of be disappointed if they did.
Yeah, like, and so, plus one of our other best friend Roborod also is a regular contributor, and like we just kind of ignore his posts also, so that's okay.
Well, that's right, because Rob is always trying to drum up some business.
I love Rob.
The show.
Yeah, we love Rob too, but he's scary obsessive sometimes, and he's actually, and we consider him one of the cooler normals of the group. So.
That's because he gets us into fights at strip clubs.
Come on, he's a legend at strip clubs. I mean, who else could wake up just enough to curse out a patron and then fall back asleep in the gutter?
Mind you, I was in the middle of cursing that patron out when he did that.
when was this?
Lexington?
Yeah, Lexington.
Yeah, third hold by
the player. Right. Rob took his pants off at that one, didn't he?
No, probably. He tried to.
Well, he took his pants off.
He kept offering to.
I don't know. I'd already gone back to the hotel by this point. I don't know.
Or when he's waving around a realistic looking Megatron knockoff and yelling, "Everyone get down!" at the food court. You know,
I remember that. Actually, I got pictures of that.
My favorite RoboRob story is when he went to he was at BotCon in the dealer room looking at some new Optimus Prime figure. It was like the Robot Masters one or something because that like. The guy behind the counter is like, "Yeah, it's got excellent
super articulation."
And I was like, "Your mom has super articulation."
really, it's amazing that kind of the saddest and lowest point in RoboRob's life is the kind of the source of so much great humor. You know, our friend is killing himself slowly with alcohol and misery, and we're just having a great time watching it. This is an even bigger disaster than when we talked to Hooks on the phone that time.
What do you mean? You're talking
never made air.
It was like 8 minutes straight of, "Oh my God, Hooks, you sound so black."
I know I listened to that. I'm pretty sure that made air.
You're pretty sure that wasn't you? What'd you say?
I'm pretty sure that made air.
No, I don't remember ever airing.
We're talking about, you know, how he. You guys were talking about how he sounded urban.
It was Kilby, because Kilby is Hooks.
I think you have to call and interview Hooks. Hooks did contribute a couple things, didn't he? I remember he did the Nixter You Nasty bit right after the Nixter thing.
Yeah, maybe I should try that. I think though, if you get around,
I think the universe will implode.
Yeah, if you get around to doing your podcast, I'll totally come on with Hooks. I think that would be great. I mean, I don't think there's any two people that could be more different than Hooks and I. So, I think that would be interesting listening.
Would this be to prove that you two are not the same person?
Well, I want to get me and Glenn Hallett on to prove that we're not the same person.
Well, you're the one who started that rumor, so you're the one to blame for yourself.
You know, the cool thing...
Look at you and Deathy on, but you are kind of Deathy. It's kind of hard to know where Deathy ends and you begin.
I am Deathy on Twitter, which is not a big deal. And I was only Deathy once on Altoids Transformers. Now the real Deathy is Deathy. It's not someone pretending to be Deathy. It's the real Deathy. And the problem is he gets the joke and it's not funny now.
Now he gets the joke 10 years later?
Yes, he's slow.
So it's still funny because he's just
my
now getting
God,
it.
God, he's
so.
Evolving.
Why are you floating here in space like this?
Yeah, there are no good trolls. All the good trolls are dead.
Long live Deathy.
Talking to one of the best ones on this call.
Yeah, we got Hooper X over
there. Yeah, Hooper X.
No, everything with the message boards, which are moderated, so good trolling is kind of... got him banned everywhere.
Yeah, moderation totally killed my game face. Also, you know, growing up and getting a job and things like that. But mostly the fact that it's all moderated and that removes all the fun out of it, because then it, you know, you get one good role going and all of a sudden some dumpy message board authority type is like, oh, I'm done, you can't see those sorts of things, and family message board. But then again, singling out any single message board administrator would be giving too much power, too much precedence to any of them, because quite frankly, I've been banned from enough places that...
I've been kicked out of nicer places than this.
Oh, yeah, no, I do want at some point to be dragged out of somewhere in a coat, like in a top hat and tails. So as they're dragging me out, I can hold one finger in the air and be like, you'll never work in this town again! The society pages will hear about this!
You should have done, that would have been great for your wedding. You should have trolled your wedding.
That would have been good.
We did troll the wedding. We left the wedding party to go get funnel cake. I mean, that was a pretty good troll, I thought.
Yeah, free funnel cake was kind of the highlight.
Did you rickroll the wedding, too?
Yeah, well, getting married was kind of cool, but free funnel cake was totally awesome.
We were missing the bricks in the background complaining.
If you guys want to come to North Carolina, I'll make you funnel cake.
We saw the town you live in.
Yeah, it is pretty dumpy. I still think the best thing is when you had the can of Sparks and you drove like from the gas station to my buddy Dusty's house, which is a good 15-20 minute haul. I mean, we do have open container laws here.
So?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
It was funny. Except for Alan, because, of course, it's always great to make Alan sweat, because, like, you know, anytime, like, he's litter, he thinks he's going to jail, so, you know.
He's a little worse. Well, Alan had his own problems that night anyway. But,
what was that? What were the problems?
Yeah, I wasn't there. Fill me in.
Yeah, what did Alan have going on? I was oblivious. I mean, other than you guys following me home on those back roads, I mean, I could see that sort of freaking him out, but...
No, he tossed on the side of the road, and or Hooper did. One of you two put puke. I can't remember.
No, it was Alan, dude. I was driving because you couldn't think straight. And
I
then
could
Alan...
think fully straight because I was laughing at Alan puking. Obviously, I thought pretty straight about that. And you fell off like a 10-foot drop at Brian's friend's house.
Yeah, I fell off your friend's apartment has this big retaining wall outside. It's like a 10-foot drop, and I fell off of it trying to get into Gabe's car.
Holy crap!
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it sucked, dude.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I totally almost died the night before your wedding.
Yeah, speaking of drunks, like, Brian's friends are all, like, it's unbelievable Brian doesn't drink. All of his friends are, like, raging alcoholics.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, to be fair, I'm from a small town, too, and, you know, the old joke was, well, what is there to do around, you know, Forsyth, Georgia on a Friday night? Well, we get drunk and we get, you know, we smoke cigarettes and we go out and we have sex in a field somewhere. So,
set your dad's truck on fire, you know, either way.
Yeah, whatever works, you know.
What do you do for fun in Queens, Ant?
We go to the city and get drunk. And then we say random things to total strangers. Well, that's me. It's not like everyone here. I call random strangers insulting names.
The memories, the fun times.
Thank you guys again. This has been fun. This has been really fun.
This has been awesome, yeah.
Yeah, it was good, guys.
I'll talk to you guys later. Okay, it was really good talking with Gabe and Hoop and Ant. Gabe and Ant, you know, they drove in from Memphis and Georgia to come to my wedding, and those guys are dear friends. So it's good, and, you know, like Rob's best friends. So I guess that's really it for the show this week. We really don't have time because we've already hit the two-hour mark. So we'll play Transformers Movie Part 4 next week. Hit up our forums at tfradio.net. Click on forums. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at... What's that, Chris? You think we need to go ahead and play it?
Yeah.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Have you not heard it yet?
No.
Everyone's heard Part 4. Nobody cares to hear that.
I want to hear it.
I heard it.
I listened to it yesterday. What do I care?
Exactly. We don't need to play it.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal, right?
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Okay. So, okay, we'll do the plugs at the end. Let's go ahead and play, finally, after an 8-year wait, Transformers the Movie, Part 4.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. Well, crap.
Did you lose it?
No.
You suck.
Oh, that wasn't it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was Never Going to Give You Up by Rick Astley. Sorry. Oh, wait. Here it is.
Radio Free Cybertron presents Transformers, the movie, part 4.
Transformers! Starring Vice Grip X as Hot Rod, Turin as Perceptor, Amanda Bonner Church as RC, Brian Kilby as Galvatron, Zabavor as everyone else, with special guest star Sean Connery as Cup, and introducing Ethan Edwards as Daniel Witwicky. As Galvatron, formerly known as Megatron, and his newly fashioned troops head toward Earth, the Autobots consider their course of action in light of the new menace, which is more dangerous than all the Decepticons put together.
Autobots, this new menace is more dangerous than all the Decepticons put together.
I could have sworn I just said that.
This giant, cannibalistic planet could spell doom for our homeworld and all we've ever known. The time has come to act, and act fast. I'm leaving.
Wait, what about my dad? He's on the moon between that monster planet and Cybertron.
Oh, I must have forgotten to mention it. The moon got eaten. Sorry, I thought you were here for that part.
Don't worry, Daniel. There's a 0.0048% chance he's still alive. So, you see, you shouldn't lose hope.
Come on, let's get off this dirt ball.
Hold it. We've got to destroy that thing before it reaches Cybertron.
How, pray tell? That thing crunches moons and it'll make short work of us. Wrestle it like you did the Megatron? Yeah, that worked really well. Maybe the Matrix can stop it.
You're right, it can.
What do you know about it? You cop a cheap feel on the Matrix while Prime lies clutching to the last threads of life, and suddenly you're the world's greatest expert on all things Matrix-esque?
I just think...
Look! Who are they? To the shuttles! Get out of my way!
I, Galvatron, formerly known as Megatron, will crush you just as Megatron, who's now known as Galvatron, crushed Prime, who's now known as Mr. Deadpan's.
You want to run that by me one more time?
Won't you run that stupid reckless out of my way when you need for scrap?
Sandcastle Bob! Want me to disembowel Ultra Magnus?
There are plenty of Autobots for you, Scourge. Ultra Magnus is mine! Mine to destroy, I mean. I don't mean he's, you know, mine. But get going!
Sure, whatever.
Stay close to me, Daniel.
You'd better stay close to me, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Save your macho boy comment until we're no longer fighting for our lives.
Nice dino, good dino, sweet dino, would you step into the nice spaceship of blood? Pretty please, pretty please, nice dino, good dino, with sugar on top and a cherry and some whipped cream. Nice dino, good dino, sweet dino!
Me, Grimlock, not nice dino! Me best brains!
Blur, quit fooling around and get the Dinobots in the shuttle.
I'm trying to get them into the shuttle, Ultra Magnus.
Whatever, I don't have time, forget it. Cup, Hot Rod, you guys get the Dinobots aboard and get out of here.
This reminds me of the battle on Alpha 9. Or wait, was it 7? No, 9.
Could we do the history lesson later?
Alright, but it's one killer story. While the Petro Rabbits, Grimlock, get your noodle out of my face.
Now that sounds a bit rude.
Me Grimlock love Cups War Stories.
You're living one now. Engage the boosters for Cybertron's sake. Were you absent the day they taught that as well?
What?
What? Nothing.
Tell Grimlock about Petro Rabbits again.
I'll give you Petro Rabbits right across your face if you don't sit down. Contact.
Looks like we're shipmates, pal.
Oh, right.
You know, it's amazing how jovial you are, even though your father snuffed it and you're being shot at by giant evil robots. Hurry!
Wait, Ultramagnus. RC's still out there.
Jump!
Thanks. That was close.
Believe it or not, this is the fun part.
I believe it.
Congratulations, Autobots, we've lost them, so rest while you can. Sorry, never mind. I was looking out the wrong window.
Yep, I remember. The dust was so thick on Beta 4. Or was it 3? No, 4.
Me, Grimlock, want to hear good part of story!
Good part, Cup! Tell Swoop good part!
Okay, okay. Well, the dust was really thick, see? And it was hard to see on account of the dust being thick. And so when this gigantic Ikkyak came tromping and stomping down the mountain, flames spewing out of its nostrils, we could barely see it, because the dust was so thick. And I remember thinking,
me Grimlock think Cup hit his head in that last battle!
Hey Cup, don't you think we have better things to do now than some old war stories?
Time out!
Oh, like playing video games while the Decepticons are on our backs. Yes, we can all learn a lesson in strategy from you, Hot Rod.
You're still mad at me, aren't you? That one little mistake.
Listen, you...
No! Tell story!
Hold it. They're closing on it.
Brilliant deduction. Just like the Shrybats of Dromedon. Or was it...
How'd you beat them?
I'm trying to remember. There were an awful lot of casualties that day. Oh yes, we inverted polarities.
Invert the polarities? Of course.
Ah! But that didn't work. So we launched some countermeasures, and that seemed to do the trick.
Launching countermeasures. Well, we survived that.
Yeah, but will we survive that?
Cyclonus transform and attack!
As you command.
As you command, mighty Galvatron.
I can't control it. The power steering is shot.
We're gonna crash.
Meanwhile, on the other shuttle.
The Decepticons are right behind us! Evasive maneuvers.
We've lost power on the secondary propulsion systems.
Try rerouting the plasma conduit through the ventral sensor array. Our shields are weakening! Transfer power from the integrity field.
The coffee machine is only serving decaf.
Turn it off for 5 seconds, then restore the power and change the filter. Looks like Cup and Hot Rod just bought it! I can't deal with that now. Face it, Magnus, the Decepticons are gonna dog us until they see us dead! Then that's exactly what they're gonna see. Prepare for auto-destruct sequence.
Wait, I have a better idea. How about emergency separation?
That's incredibly dangerous. But I like your plan better than his.
The Autobots have been terminated, Lord Galvatron.
Excellent. And the Matrix has died with them. Nothing can stop me now. I forgot. Unicron, why? Take me to Unicron. Take me now.
Well, we're alive, but how are we ever going to get anywhere in this wreck?
Perceptor, can you locate a place to sit down for repairs?
Sure.
Then take us there.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the other shuttle has crashed into an ocean on the planet Quintessa.
Cup! Grimlock! Flag! Sludge, even! Anybody!
Hot Rod! Help me!
Where are you?
Over here, you tin-plated turnip head! Help!
Ah, Giant Squid has hold of you. No problem.
What did you stop for?
So, Cup, are you going to keep writing me about that little error in judgment I made?
What? You got Prime killed! You... Okay, okay. I won't say another word. Friends?
Game on.
Fix me.
Sure thing, pal.
Meanwhile, on the planet of Junk.
Brace for impact!
Daniel!
I'm okay. Actually, that was kind of fun.
Let's try to salvage this thing.
Can I help too?
It's rough out there, kid, so... Sure!
I think Daniel can make himself useful with this.
RC, put that away, he's just a kid!
It's just Spike's exosuit.
Ah, never mind.
Dad's exosuit! He told me all about it.
Here, try it on. Now try to walk.
It's kind of tricky.
Whoa, whoa! Keep on practicing. You'll get the hang of it.
Come on, showtime's over. We've got work to do. Or more precisely, you've got work to do. I've got overseeing to do.
This must be New Jersey.
To catch a thief, no Wells Fargo wagon coming down this street. Hello, perfect strangers. You are number 6, by hook or by crook. No survivors.
And they all lived happily ever after. Oh, wait, no they didn't. My bad.
Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Sound engineer, Soundwave. Editor, XV. Script by, Turin. Procrastination by, Brian Gilby. Any resemblance to characters owned by Hasbro or Takara is hoped to go unnoticed by their attorneys. No Petro Rabbits were harmed in the making of this production. All celebrity voices impersonated, obviously. Radio Free Cybertron.
See, that was fun. Was it worth waiting 8 years for that?
Oh yeah.
I thought it was great.
That was much better than episode 1.
So do we have to wait another 8 years for the next part?
Yeah, see you in 2017 for part 5.
God. Oh my goodness.
Hey, tune in.
You know, actually, part one was really good. The problem with the first two parts is they were done on dial-up, completely on dial-up. So they were all, like, you know, low fidelity. But part three, Mop Boy did and collected all the files. And it sounds great. XV did this, and it sounds great. Tyrion has actually started on part five. So we hope to maybe have part five done in the matter of a couple months.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
Hopefully sometime still this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, it could be this year. So I figure if we
That'll be your Christmas present from Radio Free Cybertron.
Wow, that would be awesome.
That would be a great present.
Yeah, it would be a great present. And, you know, it's better than all the present that I always give, which is just some Christmas music. It's like, have a holly jolly Christmas. Actually, I'm looking forward to doing a Christmas episode because I haven't done that since, like, 2001. We'll be... So, Rob, do we want to plan on doing a Halloween episode of RSC?
I really want to. I'm just not sure exactly what to do with it.
Okay, well, we'll do it. That is what? It's 2 weeks from... Brian, do your math. It's like... it's more than 2 weeks. It's more than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But
we need to definitely do it before the end of the month because I got haunted house last week.
Okay, we'll put it together and we'll post it on Halloween.
But we totally need to record me after I've done all my haunted house work because I sound exactly like Macho Man for a week.
Yeah, your voice. Doing the haunted house, I understand. Your voice gets all kind of gruff and rough from yelling the whole, you know, four or five hours.
I literally sound just like him, like to the point where I can go, oh, yeah, and people think it's him.
Snap into a slim.
Oh, yeah, you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
What was it? Was it Macho Man or the Ultimate Warrior said, was higher education got you down, or what was it?
What?
Never mind. Whoa. I didn't know about that.
Wow. World work.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So, people have been waiting, you know, eight years for part four. There's part four. And we had a blast doing it. I think at the pace we're going, we'll have it done by part seven, which, unless we get too, you know, a little too ambitious and we start, you know, recording stuff that really wasn't in the movie, which I kind of want to do.
Are you wanting to rewrite the ending? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying rewrite the ending, but, you know, the parody...
Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. The parody is very much a take of what's on the screen. Well, there's stuff that we don't see on screen, like what's happening to Spike and Bumblebee in the bowels of Unicron.
Think dogs playing cards.
Yeah. So who knows? Who knows? But yeah, part four is done, and there you go. We'll have that available for download within the week, and we will post to that. I don't know that we have really anything else to cover. I want to thank everyone for listening. I mean, if you didn't listen, we wouldn't do this. Tell your friends if you love us, retweet this and all that stuff. Check out our forums. Go to tfradio.net or tfpodcast.com. We also have that domain. Join the forums. There is a little link that says support. We don't ask for money. We none of that stuff, but we would appreciate it if you link to us. We have some links. Or, you know, join our Facebook fan page. Follow us on Twitter. There is a whole score of ways you can participate. So does anyone have any final thoughts for this 10th anniversary Radio Free Cybertron, the most important podcast in the history of time? This will be recorded. Millions, if not billions, of people listen to this. If you had one final thing to say besides Rhinox farted, what would that be?
I just want to say thanks, Brian. I mean, I know you did it for personal reasons, but... Man, finding RFC and being able to listen week after week and then being able to come back and participate has just been so cool. And, you know, big props for what you did, especially doing it through the time that you did it and then bringing it back. It's just awesome. Well, and it's a labor of love, and I know that. So
you're welcome, and your check is in the mail.
Thank you.
Where's my check?
You do this pro bono.
Oh,
hate to break it to you.
I'm still waiting for my compensation for editing part four together.
So, guys, starting with XV, how do we reach you? XV, go.
I'm on Twitter, XVBroad.
JD.
Unicron Spawn.
John.
I'm on Twitter too, JDUNA, JDUNA.
Rob.
Well, I'm around the Facebook every so often, like every day. And there's my Twitter, at Rob Springer. It's private, but if you write me a message when you add me, I'll let me know who you are. And, you know, cool beans.
And nobody knows who Chris Triplett is, so it doesn't matter how to contact him.
Yeah, Chris Triplett.
Oh, thanks.
Chris. Chris, okay, you have a very interesting Twitter handle. Can you explain it to us?
How do I explain it? Just by telling you what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Man of the Town. And it's easy to remember.
And how did you wind up with that?
I just decided I wanted it not to be Hitman Pez.
Okay. Hey, Turin, how do we reach you on? How do we reach you now? You're on Twitter these days, aren't you?
Am I? I think I created a Twitter account and I've never once tweeted.
Well, what is your Twitter account?
I believe it is T163RIN.
What the heck is that?
Well, 163 is the numbers that make the little accent over the U in my name.
Okay. Well,
and they wouldn't take accents. Crummy Twitter. So.
Okay. Well, Taryn, thank you for coming on the show. It was really good talking to you in real time.
Yeah, that's like the third time ever.
Yeah, really. As long as I've known you, it's the third time ever. Guys, it's been a great 10 years. I hope that I'm not doing this in 10 more years. I hope that I hope that I'm, you know, a quadrillionaire, you know, doing, I don't know, PsychoCasts.
Oh, I get it. And you're paying somebody to do it in 10 years, huh?
Dude, yeah.
I hope so, too.
We'll have RFC franchises. People will pay in to do RFC podcasts.
Nice.
Yeah, what would be next? I mean, there's already video casts. Is it PsychoCasts, or what would it be?
HoloCast.
PsychoCast.
PsychoCast.
You know, into your brain.
People who fit that bill.
Yeah. Actually, I guess this sort of would be a PsychoCast. Okay. Well, yeah. Mm,
chew on that.
Yeah, chew on that. So, I think we'll be big in 10 years? Reading. Reading will come back. Yeah, people will be tired of, you know, video and audio and everything, and holograms. People will just be reading stuff.
I can read faster than you talk.
Yeah, that's probably. I can talk pretty fast though. You don't realize how fast I can talk.
Showdown.
I can talk really fast, but no one will understand what I'll say.
Let's see here. I read at 1,600 words per minute the last time I can't. Yeah, I can't talk that fast. So if you read as fast as I do, yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Okay, so we've just basically killed this 10th anniversary show. and we thank you for...
We did that over an hour ago, Brian.
Yeah, and we thank you for suffering with us. So it's been fun. Thank you, guys.
Very sorry.
Yeah, we apologize for this 10th anniversary podcast.
I'm sorry you had to wait so long for the parody.
But it was worth it.
I'm not sorry.
Thank you to everyone out there listening. You can't really understand how much we appreciate you being part of the Radio Free Cybertron family. So thank you again. We will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show, online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?